about. You gotta put it in perspective.
What's that thing that really makes you want to get up in the morning?
For me, I guess the simplest answer is I like money.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The mountainous terrain of Mexico. When I come back, we're going to talk about our chances for rain and see if there's any change in the forecast from the heat and humidity.
All right, Jay, thanks. And this reminder, our meteorologists are always tracking storms. I think that was a bug that just went in my nose. Sorry.
Anyway, I got another one from...
Yes?
Time here, and it's about cat food. Here it is.
So you guys finally caught up to me and are fed up with Sam the Armenian comedian. Thank God you guys no longer find him funny. Thank God no more Armenian comedian. Thank God.
And now, I'm all kinds of variety ladies men. I know every G-spot of your vein.
Our feature presentation.
Oh. That's, I don't
too
feel like
early.
That's...
He knows every G-spot of your vein.
I mean, G-spots, well, first of all, with
wasn't
an S.
Aware there were multiple and they were located in my veins.
Well, he knows about such things and you don't.
So maybe have it a little less, little judgy from you, maybe.
I'm saying give us a chance maybe to wake up before we get hit with Sam like that. And,
thank
and I'm the only one that loves Sam.
Says right. You, by the way,
that was just
of all
too
people.
Much. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 4th of August.
I don't like to brag, but I really had the best grilled cheese sandwich I've ever had in my life yesterday, and it was amazing. It was, I mean, right? Who's with me?
I wish we had a call to go to.
We had grilled chicken and Monterey Jack cheese and cheddar and Buffalo Ranch. Oh, my God.
What was the name of the place you had it at?
Thank you for asking, Allie. It was the Big Cheesy here in New Orleans, the Big Cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You see what they did there, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
wordplay. I do. I get that.
Wordplay.
I'm not a fan of wordplay.
It is a grilled cheese restaurant. That's all they sell is grilled cheese, and they have like 50 different kinds of grilled cheese sandwiches that you can get.
Right.
You can get a little salad, too, and they also, I think they have tomato soup as well.
Oh, thank God. I was going to ask about the tomato soup
but
because it
big,
goes so well with the
so
grilled
the
cheese.
The Big Cheesy, you guys, I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance, go and get the Big Bird. That's what it's called. The Big Bird is the one I got.
Okay.
Oh, man. So good.
Do you need a minute? Or
I know, right? Kind of do. Okay? I'm going to be so fat here, you guys.
Right? That's what we've been telling you.
Fat Bean.
I like Fat Bean.
I can't wait.
Looking forward to that, are you?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if every time you saw me, I'd gain another 40 pounds?
Yes.
Like, I just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Nothing
would
be funnier.
Who could
blame you, though?
Right?
Right?
Well,
they make everything in New Orleans with all kinds of butter and fat and everything else.
Well, when you live on grilled cheese sandwiches, I guess that's the body you deserve. But it's going
to
be fun.
It's also the way to go.
It is the way to go, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of restaurants, this story involves a restaurant in Southern California. I think you guys will be interesting. Allie, you may not be familiar with this concept, but some ladies get asked out on dates, and then they go to a place for dinner with a boy. And this woman is named Diane Guilmette, and she was on the Plenty of Fish dating website. You guys familiar with that one at all?
No.
Pretty popular.
Plenty of Fish? No.
Plenty of Fish, yes. She, you know, the expression is there's plenty of fish in the sea.
Right.
That's where it comes from. So she gets a message, and she lines up a date. It was a very flattering message, she said. The man had initiated the conversation, and they started chatting, and they decided that they were going to meet for dinner. And they met at Morton's Steakhouse in downtown L.A. It's a pretty good sign, pretty fancy place to go for a first date, right?
Sure.
She says, well, it's a little pricey for me, but I agreed to go anyway. And the man was not shy when it came to ordering, it turned out. He ordered a lot of food during dinner. He had an appetizer. He had a steak. He ordered a couple of sides, a glass of wine. He was really enjoying himself. When we got near the end of the meal, we weren't quite finished. He said he had to go make a phone call.
Yes, he did.
About 15 minutes later, Miss Gamet realized
his phone call was from his home.
He wasn't coming back. When I went to message him on the app, he had blocked me. And I thought, oh my gosh, is this really happening right now? So he dined and dashed on a date, you guys.
Yeah.
That's a new low, right?
Well, I mean, she did have the warning signs as they went, right?
What was
she
the warning
sign? She was
watching
him just eating a ton of food and ordering wine and everything.
But I wouldn't think that was weird at all.
Really?
I wouldn't know.
Are you splitting the bill?
I don't know.
Depends on who asked who, but I think it's usually implied that he's going to pay.
He did
on
ask
first
her
date.
Out. I would think he would be expected to pay. Yeah. So she probably, you know, she'd never met this guy before, so she thought maybe he eats like this all the time. Maybe he's celebrating because we're on this date. I wouldn't be nervous until he'd been gone from the table about 5 minutes.
Wouldn't you like to hear her thought patterns as this? The first time she went, wait a minute, it's been a while. What? I wonder what's taken him so long.
How sad is it? What a terrible date, though. I mean, maybe it was a great date up until that
point. It's a great
point,
date for him.
That would be the worst if it was a great date. She's like, what a connection.
I love this
chemistry
guy.
Is unreal.
He's my man.
She takes a long time in the bathroom, though. Going to have to ask him about that.
But the only negative. Yes. That's pretty good.
She's texting all of her friends while he's gone going, I think I may have met the one, you guys.
Yep.
So he blocks her on the app.
Oh.
And then I assume she has to Uber home, right, unless they met there. I assume he went and picked her up. But anyway, so she took to social media. What? No
way.
You
never let a guy from an app pick you up if you do your
You meet at the restaurant.
Yes.
Okay, so she probably had a way home. That's good. So she took to social media, and she told her friends what had happened, and they have posted pictures of the man, and the police have identified the man as Paul Gonzalez of Alta Loma.
Boo, Paul,
right? Bad man. He also, it turns out, is accused of failing to pay for a cut and color at a Burbank hair salon back in February.
Oh, I bet he has frosted tips.
He just got it done and then said he had to go out and make a phone call?
Yes, another phone call. So now Los Angeles District Attorney's Office says that the man is facing two pending cases of petty theft. Miss Guimet told her story online, although she was embarrassed because she hopes that it will warn other women and perhaps other women will come forward and share their own stories.
Yeah, I can't imagine this was his first time. So how many other women were just too embarrassed to say this happened?
And that's understandable that you would be embarrassed for something like this. But on the other hand, the woman did nothing wrong, and there was no way for her to anticipate that this was a dine and dash. It's not like there's a clue or a hint that this is going to happen. It just does.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I feel like we're going to have to ask the guy before dinner, please leave your credit card.
Right, exactly.
I think that's what we need to start
right
doing,
up
ladies.
Front.
Well, I feel like a sucker for paying for my grilled cheese yesterday, I'll tell you that. If I'd have known that this was an option.
Yeah, you got to get a date online first, though, Bean.
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. So watch out. Watch out, dating app users.
That's a good tip.
That's a great one.
That's a healthy tip. Thank you, Bean. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Well, that is great. Another day, another worst-case scenario.
There's a place called, and it's a very good description, the Museum of Presidential Hair.
Really?
I wonder what
I don't know, but the kids love
they
it.
Have there.
They have hair from presidents.
Oh. Well, it is, you're right. It is aptly named.
Now, I wonder why it exists.
Uh-huh.
I wonder who would go.
People are fascinated with U.S. presidents.
Yes.
But their hair?
As Bean is.
And is it like locks of their hair?
Well, we'll find out.
What if they're bald?
The Museum of... It's Presidential Pubes. It's a good band. Anyway, that's coming up this morning. We're also going to talk to Nick Finch, who was the winner of the 2016 Audience Choice Star Wars Fan Film Award. He made a fan film that's on StarWars.com that the fans voted the best.
Hundreds of them entered every year, by the way.
That's pretty cool.
It's crazy how big this competition is. And you know what you win?
Clapping at the big event in London?
Yoda?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, that's it.
Oh. Yeah.
It's not like you get a job out of it. It's not like you get to tour George Lucas's ILM or anything like that. You just get recognition.
But a lot of people in the past have gotten recognized to the point where other filmmakers have said, "Hey, I'd like to work with you."
Yeah, it does show
so
talent.
It's great.
That's for sure.
This is why you fail.
Thank you, Yoda.
We're also watching a new show called Stranger Things. Some of us have already gotten through all of it. I'm about halfway through. It's a great show on Netflix. And I know we talk about a lot of shows, and at least in my mind, I think, who's got time to watch all of those shows?
I do.
Allie does, yeah. Is the answer. But this is a great one. It's a really good show, and we're going to talk to the Sheriff Hopper. We're going to talk to David Harbour on today's show.
You should mention the name of the show for people who are curious.
Stranger Things.
You did.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you?
Yep.
You're so hateful.
That's something else right there, man.
The show's called Stranger Things.
I didn't hear that.
So you should check that out. It's on
I was
Netflix.
Thinking about grilled cheese.
Stranger Things. Andrew Siciliano talks to us today. How about that?
You should mention who he is.
About.
What does he do?
NFL training camps.
What's he going to talk about, though?
It's back. We're no longer left with just baseball.
Baseball's awesome.
Very excited.
But it's also kind of cool to have football.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Things you believed as a kid, we're going to take calls on again today because that's just endless. And we're going to talk to Dr. Drew. Apparently, millennials are not having sex.
What?
What? That's our question. What?
What?
So we'll ask Dr. Drew that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we've got your Radiohead tickets at the Shrine. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
That means it's time for Alan McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
Some shocking claims made by a former bodyguard of rap star Eminem. Kevin loves this story.
I do.
apparently, his bodyguard, known as Big Nas, said that Death Row Records kingpin Suge Knight tried to have Eminem killed. Killed.
As in murdered?
Murdered on several occasions. First up, the 2001 Source Hip Hop Awards. Apparently, Eminem was sitting in between all these guys in red shirts. And that year, they couldn't have Eminem sit with bodyguards. So he was kind of watching this go down. And he saw him beefing with the guys in red shirts. And this is when they said, "Death Row, mother effer, Suge Knight sent us to strong arm Eminem. It's going down." So he had to snatch him up and grab him and go backstage.
Okay.
That's number one.
Dude.
Number two, they landed in Hawaii for a vacation. And when the plane landed, they were greeted by 20 Honolulu police officers that said, "Death Row is here," and they tried to hem Snoop Dogg up. I don't know what that means, but I feel like it means something bad for Snoop, so maybe then bad for Eminem. So he said vacation mode was over. They started putting on bulletproof vests with all their wives and girlfriends sitting next to him. And they had to have Interscope pick up the tab to put Honolulu police with each bodyguard because of how deep Suge was over there.
What? I feel like Suge Knight just wanted to kill everyone he saw.
And I feel...
Hey, that's a new guy. Let's have him killed.
I also feel like if Suge Knight really wanted you dead, I think he could do it.
I don't know. He seemed bad at it. Because he wanted a lot of people to die.
Sure.
And very few did.
Okay.
So...
Do you think it was in the effort? Like, he wasn't actually good at it? Or he just got sick of it? Like, I want him to die. And then he's like, there's a grilled cheese. Something like that.
He probably.
Well, that would be understandable.
Lost interest.
Here's the only thing I know, is that Beer Mug thinks that Suge Knight is a pussy. That's the only thing.
I said that so many times.
So many times. Like, you guys talk about punk-ass Suge Knight?
Yeah.
He better hope he never runs into me, Beer Mug said.
I don't think that's...
On multiple occasions.
I don't think that's true.
And we said, hey, Beer Mug, don't say something like that. And he's like, what? Suge can't get to me?
Right.
I don't...
And we said, he's a very powerful, dangerous man. And he said, and Beer Mug said again, Beer Mug at K-Rock said, bring it. That's what I heard.
You're trying to get Beer Mug killed, and I can't stand for it.
But Suge's not very good at it, so.
Oh, that was Kevin right there that said Suge's not good at it.
He's pretty safe. All right, it's shocking to me that he would smack talk him like that so much. Like, he's been doing that for about 5 years in a row.
Beer Mug has?
Yes.
Wow.
It's crazy. Must have a death wish.
I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
maybe it's best, kind of stay out of the fray.
Yeah. Sure. You don't want to be involved when it goes down.
Yeah. All of this was happening yesterday, but was overshadowed by Drake and Eminem's faux beef. Did you see that trending online?
I did, and there's really not that much to it? Is that ultimately what ended up happening?
There's nothing to it, but then people started picking sides. Some guy said on a radio show that Drake DM someone and did it, and they were going to have a rap battle. But what? Wait, what? None of it made sense, and no one's heard from Eminem in how long? Like, all of a sudden, he's going to come out swinging at Drake?
Yeah, he's not usually out there doing that much.
No. But I think he could. Don't you?
20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout rapper Drake.
No, no, rapper.
Whoa,
rapper.
Lady.
Take it
that
easy.
That is wow. An aggressive news report.
No, I think if you're going to... Boy, I think if you're going to beef, I'm not sure that you want to have a...
I'm not taking on Eminem.
Battle with Eminem.
No.
Because that's how he came up.
That's how he came up. I believe there was a movie
there was.
About it as well.
It was called 8 Mile.
And last time I checked, Drake had ghostwriters, correct?
I mean, sure.
So maybe a rap battle isn't the best. But I'm still down for it.
That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you so much. We talked yesterday about Ozzy Osbourne. Apparently he's going into rehab for sex addiction. A very intense sex addiction. And we were saying, well, was that affair with that hairdresser, you know, just one of many? Well, she has come out and said it wasn't just an affair. It was 4 years. And he was the love of her life.
Wow.
Oh, dear. And she wasn't stopping there. She has just dropped a lawsuit on Kelly Osbourne.
Why?
I don't know if you remember, after the affair became public, Kelly tweeted out, anyone looking for a cheap, chunky, low lights and a blowout and a blow beep call, and then left this woman's phone number on her Twitter. She then accused this woman, Michelle Pugh, of elderly abuse, saying, my father is almost 70. Ever heard of elder abuse? And Michelle Pugh says she felt slut-shamed, bullied, and harassed. So she's suing her for defamation, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and public disclosure of private facts.
Hello? Sharon?
No, Ozzy, this is K-Rock.
Hello?
Hi.
Sharon?
Nope, Allie.
Nope, still not.
Hello?
Nope.
Sharon?
No, this is Kevin and
Bean. Hello?
Hi.
Sharon?
No, Allie.
Can somebody get Sharon for me?
Well, she is not here.
Hello?
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Just hang up, Ozzy.
Hello.
Hi. So, wow, things in the Osbourne family.
I find it a little odd that it's all so much hate toward her in that Ozzy was willing.
Absolutely, but that's how
married.
It tends to be. You hate the person that had the, not the one that had the affair that you know, it's always the other person. But Kelly Osbourne, I mean, I understand. I get it. You're protecting your family.
Yeah,
but
of course.
You put that woman's phone number out there. You put her name. You put all of that. That's bad form, Kelly. My ruling, $20 million, Michelle Pugh.
For what?
Yeah, she's going to get $20 million. I don't
know. Doesn't even make sense.
I think it does. Hey, all of these stars are celebrating a birthday today. Actor Richard Belzer is 72. Billy Bob Thornton is 61. President Barack Obama.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
I take offense, but you're not wrong. He is 55 today. Actor Daniel Day-Kim is 48. And race car driver Jeff Gordon. Why does it sound weird when you say race car driver?
Because no one says that.
Right? It says race car driver Jeff Gordon is 45. Thanks, Dave. I'm Mally McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program later on today. Also, our old friend Andrew Siciliano. By the way, we probably won't have time to get to this, but do you see the photos that Andrew posts when he climbs those mountains? He, like, in the off season, he'll fly to Peru and climb like a 20,000 foot. He's hardcore.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Dude. Yeah, it's really impressive. Anyway,
fake.
We'll talk about. I'm sorry. What?
Fake.
Really, you don't think
screen.
He's actually climbing any
no.
of them?
He's just still at the studio and they just
put
up a green screen.
All right. Talk about the NFL training camps that are underway and the Hall of Fame game, and we're right around the corner from actual professional football. So that'll be fun coming up this morning on K-Rock.
There's a museum in Philadelphia that has presidential hair.
I am interested in hearing more.
Yes, you are. Presidential hair.
I go to a lot of the presidential grave sites. You know, if you're in Tennessee or something, you go, hey, let's go see where President Polk is buried. You know, that sort of thing.
It's Here's the thing: I've been in Tennessee, and that thought never comes to my mind.
Really?
It's not like I don't even consider. Should I go for President Polk? No, I don't have time. I don't even think that.
No.
I've been to...
I didn't even know there was a President Polk.
I've been to lots of the presidential libraries, and of course there are two of them in Southern California with Mr. Reagan and Mr. Nixon, but I've been to a ton of those, and those are fun. But I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like a presidential hair museum.
Yeah, would you be interested? Because
yes, I would go see that.
You would?
I would go see that.
Of course.
Because it's not like their stuff, right? It's just hair.
I don't know. I haven't been. I don't know what the presentation is like. It's possible they have more things.
Well, I'm saying
they have a Dixieland band playing as you look at it.
What I'm saying is the presidential hair is what's in the name, but that doesn't mean you don't get there and the hair is one of the artifacts that's left behind. And there could be costumes, there could be letters, there could be photos. I don't know what else there is, but I would go to see the hair, sure.
Would you go to see the hair if it was just the hair?
I would. And here's why. Because you are looking at a part of the actual person. Like that James K. Polk. You know what I mean? Like how else in your life are you ever going to get the opportunity to see an actual part of his body?
It's not part of his body. It's dead hair.
Right, but it's still...
It's not still somehow growing and connected to him.
No, but it was. It did come from him, though.
Right, but so did fingernails. Would you go to a fingernail museum for presidents?
Yes, he would.
He would, wouldn't he?
Yes.
I wouldn't enjoy that as... I think the hair museum is better. Now, presidential penis museum.
Sure, you're all in on that, right? Of course. I think we're all in on that. Here's the report from Philadelphia.
From Donald Trump's famous do to the many shades and styles of Hillary Clinton, the subject of hair has come up a lot with this year's presidential candidates. But obsession with high-profile hair is nothing new. It goes way back in American pop culture.
Now, Allie, you used to do TV news. Mm-hmm. You happy about this story if you're in Philadelphia or no?
I am really upset with my news director that I got sent on this.
Yeah. I
got
to do the president's hair?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Just up the street from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, the Academy of Natural Sciences at Drexel University is showing off a one-of-a-kind collection of presidential hair.
Wait, it's a one-of-a-kind collection?
There
aren't dozens of these?
There aren't competing ones. So you walk in and you see little snippets of hair, and then you go, yep.
There it is.
George Washington. How about that?
How do they get it? How do they get the hair?
A lawyer apparently living up through 1860 collected it for some reason. I don't know why. He was the bean of his time.
Right. Did he just write to the presidents and go, hey, President Jackson, send me some hair?
It's funny you would say that because there's a report coming up in this report where a woman writes to George Washington and asks him for his hair. But anyway, this guy had it. He died in 1816. He gave it to this museum. And so they have the hair,
right,
which Bean would go see, again.
I think the fact that it exists and is being talked about in the news, probably lots of people would go see.
Now, I know you think that. It's not true, though. I have it on inside information. I called them and they said we're still waiting for Bean. So maybe if you got over there, Bean, they would be able to close.
How many of us actually get to see a president ever?
Okay, you're not seeing a president. Yeah.
But you're seeing an actual real piece of his body, though.
No, but the hair dies. Right? So
yeah.
it's exactly the same as fingernails and toenails. It's
I'll allow it.
And skin that comes off. It's,
okay.
It's all dead. It's not a part of them. You're not seeing the president.
Let me hear more.
And this is as close as you're ever going to get to the president himself.
Bob Peck is a curator at the Academy. Drexel inherited the collection from a member in the 19th century who studied hair as a hobby.
That's a hell of a hobby.
All right, that surprised me. I did not see that coming.
What do you do with your downtime?
Hair.
I love hair. I study it.
I don't know how to explain this, but this is a person that you have read about and admired and have seen movies on, and you get a chance to get closer than you have been before. I know
you're
it's not,
not
the real
closer.
I know it's not the real person. I know the person is dead. But like when I was in Cleveland a couple years ago, I went out of my way to go to President Garfield's tomb. Okay, and the reason is because hey, I'm standing here and I'm 6 feet away from President Garfield. Even though he's dead, you still feel a connection to this person that you have read so much about. I get that. I get why somebody would want to see the hair.
I'm just going to have to come out and say it. President Garfield is no longer there.
Right, but that is where his remains are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just – look, people go to graves all over the world, for instance. You know, Jim Morrison fans by the millions go to the cemetery in Paris because they love Jim Morrison and they want to be where he last was. And it's the same sort of thing. It's just you get closer to the person than you ever were able to before.
But I'm going to say that you were no closer to that president than I am right now.
I think that's not true.
Because
I think
he's not there.
But distance-wise, I was in his last spot.
Right, but that doesn't make you closer to anybody.
Whatever's left of him is still there, though. Even if it's just dust.
You could be lying in his grave and you wouldn't be closer to him than me.
I disagree.
I hate to say this, but if you're into hair, give us a call.
No,
we need to talk to you.
I don't know.
1-800-520-1067. Here's some more from the museum.
It includes 12 presidents, from Andrew Jackson.
It's quite a big tuft of hair.
To Thomas Jefferson.
Jefferson was fascinated by science. He would have been intrigued by this collection.
Yeah, you don't know that.
Yeah, stop speaking for him. Come on.
I feel like he would have been intrigued by
this. Let me tell you about Jefferson. He loved science,
right?
So he would love this.
Right,
he would have been first in line.
Let me ask you guys this question, then. Thomas, a lock of Thomas Jefferson's hair, perhaps our greatest American, okay? You wouldn't argue that that is worthless, would you?
I would argue that that is worthless.
Really?
Yes.
Don't you think if somebody put up for auction a lock of Thomas Jefferson's hair, that it would sell for tens of thousands of dollars?
Probably.
I mean, I think there are the exceptions like you. But I think most people would say, ew, no.
I would think that would be enormously valuable, something like that.
Here's the problem. Bean always says that I think everybody's like me, which is relatively true.
Right.
But Bean always thinks everybody likes him, which is
true. I don't expect everybody to be interested in the Museum of Presidential Hair, but I don't think it makes sense to argue that no one should be interested in the Museum of Presidential Hair. I think there is an argument to be made of why a place like that exists.
Don't be interested. I'm saying you're no closer to that president than I am. That's true.
I don't think that's true.
Mm.
And I will tell you that I also have hair in my own house.
Yeah, hold that. Hold that, please. Hold that thought.
And it's nice to be...
I'm not done with the presidents yet. Then we'll get to you and your animals.
All right, but we're almost
done. Hold, please.
And George Washington, whose hair was apparently in great demand.
Here's the story that you're looking for. Were people interested in his hair at the time? And did they write and say, hey, give me some hair? Yes, they did.
He received letters from admirers when he was at Valley Forge. Could you break from your military activities to just snip a little bit of hair and send it our way?
He wanted him to say,
wow.
Hey, you know, you're fighting a war. Take a break.
Right.
Clip some hair and send it to me, would you?
There's been a fair amount of scandal, too, surrounding hair in the presidency.
Oh, sure.
In an incident dubbed Hairgate, President Bill Clinton was scolded for holding up an airport runway while he got a cut on Air Force One. The reports turned out to be false, but the story persisted. In the 2008 primary, John Edwards made headlines when his Federal Election Commission records showed haircuts costing three figures. Recently, former President Jimmy Carter offered to contribute his own hair to the collection, adding to the diverse dues of past presidents. Still, there's always one constant.
What changes generally during a presidency is the color of their hair.
Robert Bumstead, Associated Press, Philadelphia.
Robert went home and said to his wife, you know what I had to do today? I had to go talk about hair. Bean has hair from his dead pets.
And I don't think that's uncommon either. I think most people don't do it, but I think a fair amount of people do it as well.
Do you keep it like in a locket, something to keep close to you, or is it
you wear
just
it around
in
your neck as a necklace
somewhere
with a little heart?
I think I have a variety. I think I do have. I think I have some of Tater Tots in a locket, but I have Buttercup, my cow. I have just in a little baggie, I think, and I know I have some Chin Ho hair too. But that's not uncommon. I mean, I think it's less common now than it was at one time. I think it used to be very common to save hair from.
Do you think
that?
What has changed over time to make it less common, do you think?
People realized it was effing stupid.
I think it fell out of favor. But look,
fell out of favor? Why would it fall out of favor? If it's something special to you that you want to keep close, how does that change through time?
It doesn't. I don't know. Look, there are lots of things that people used to do that they don't do anymore.
Right, but you still have.
Gradually they fell. I do.
Have the hair of your pets in bags.
Various containers, yes.
You really take care of it well.
that when I see – it's safe. When I see Buttercup's hair, for instance,
right.
it looks just like, you know, the fur that I used to pet. And, you know, and it just reminds me of her. And it's just – it's nice to have a little, you know, a little memento of her. That's all. I don't have anything else from her.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Should we take line two or no?
Sweet.
Let's talk to Jennifer real quick.
Allie's now erring on the side of Bean, and
I think it's sweet to have something to.
Well, I miss her, and it's nice to have something that you know you can touch that reminds you of her. That's all,
Jennifer.
Yes.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm calling because I was listening to your show, and I don't know if it was Kevin or Bean.
It was Bean.
Okay. That hair is dead already, or hair dies, but hair is dead already, even when, you know, we're alive, it's already dead. I'm in a medical field, and hair is already dead. If it was alive, then it would hurt, right?
Wait, you're telling me the hair that is on my head right now is already dead?
Yes, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, all my dead ends, hair is already dead. It's not.
It's already dead. So,
are you failing medical school or
where are you in the process?
No.
Did you just watch a CSI? Is that it? Is that your training?
No.
Hair is alive as it comes out of the follicle. Once it hits the actual like skin,
it's dead.
It's not alive.
Right.
Anymore.
So then, when they cut it, it's dead.
Right.
It doesn't die over the course of time. It's already dead.
Right.
So Bean is no closer.
I actually have my son's first piece of hair from his first haircut. It hasn't changed at all in color. And this was like 2 years ago. I mean, I know it's thousands of years, probably hundreds of years, but I don't know. I just thought I'd call and say that.
All right. Okay. Well, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you calling. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
All right.
So you guys are in.
No.
Nick Finch joins us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. He is the winner of the Star Wars Fan Film Contest. Very talented guy. And Allie, did you watch the movie?
Of course I did.
Little Boba Fett. Little Boba Fett for you, right?
Loved the whole thing.
That's going to be fun having him on later on today. And don't forget, we got your tickets to win to go see Radiohead at the Shrine. They are playing tonight and also Monday. That's on the way on K-Rock.
We are having a bit of an argument about a video that's online, America's Got Talent. I don't know if you've seen this or not. You probably have. It's been everywhere, but there's a man and a woman, and they're doing a sort of a magic act. I don't know. It's super annoying. Everything about them is super annoying. And he swallows a sword, and then at the end of the sword is like a target that's still sticking out of his mouth, and she gets up on a ladder for some reason, and she has a bow and arrow, and the arrow's on fire. Mm-hmm. And she shoots the arrow, and it misses the target and supposedly hits him in the neck.
Well, it doesn't supposedly hit him in the neck. It's on video. It hits him in the neck.
And bounces off.
Right.
Kevin's calling BS on this whole thing.
If it's an arrow, it doesn't bounce off anything.
Oh, you think it should be sharp?
Is it like a Nerf arrow?
Yeah, probably.
Well, then how
is
it?
Because it's on fire. Because it doesn't need to pierce anything. It doesn't need to stick to a target. It just needs to hit the target with fire.
Yeah, it needs to stick.
There's no reason that... There's no reason that it needs to be sharp, I don't think.
But then it's not a story if it's not sharp. That's my point. Like, why is everybody tweeting this going, hey, this guy got shot in the neck with an arrow?
Well, because it was a flaming arrow.
Yeah,
but it wasn't an arrow, is my point.
It is an arrow. She shot it with a bow. It's an arrow that has fire on the end of it. What don't you understand about this?
I assume that the definition of an arrow is something that is pointed at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
You wanted him jabbed in the neck. You wanted blood. You wanted to see some result of being hit by an arrow.
I get sick when I look at blood, but if it's not that, then why is it a viral video? Why is it making the rounds?
Right. Because you think it's fake?
Because she shot.
Yeah, I think it's fake. I think they intended
fire into his face.
Right.
That's why it's a viral video.
Right. But so if you're them and you're on America's Got Talent and you know the cameras are rolling, do you hit the target or do you go, you know what would make a bigger impression? If I miss the target and hit you,
really?
Boom,
there's no way.
It's planned. What do you mean there's no way?
Well, I'll tell you one reason why. Because they got eliminated from the competition because their trick didn't work.
But a lot of publicity.
Right.
Now a lot of people want to hire that. Oh.
Exactly. Why would they want to hire someone who can't do the thing?
But did you watch them? They were not going to win that competition. No way. So this is the only way to get some publicity.
I will say her reaction after hitting him, and she is apparently they're married.
That's, okay, engaged.
She
engaged.
Just
engaged. Okay.
Engaged. She just hit her fiance in the neck with a flaming arrow.
Well, let's use a different word than arrow.
A flaming.
It is an arrow.
It's not an arrow, Bean.
A yeah, flaming stump. Stump.
If it doesn't have a point, there's no danger. Why is she freaking out?
It's more like a slingshot. Let's call it a slingshot. But she didn't, you know, jump off the ladder and run to him. There was no reaction whatsoever from her.
I wonder why. She knew it was coming. Here's the
description, by the way, okay, from the man in the couple. He says, it appears the spring on Amberlynn's laser sight slipped off the arrow, knocking it off its path. Since the notch on the arrow was broken, it came at me at an angle with less power. We'd been practicing this for the past 3 months, but this was the first time we ever did it in front of a live audience, and we had an equipment malfunction. We had taken safety precautions. All the clothes that I was wearing were fire retardant. He was asked, was it a tense ride home for the couple after the show? He said, not at all. It wasn't her fault. I'm not going to give her a hard time about it. We do what we do. It's a dangerous show, and we're doing dangerous stuff. It's all real.
Yeah, they high-fived. They were like, yeah, people thought that was a real arrow. We win.
Here's it's a fail, though. Nobody goes out of their way to create a viral video
no
of them failing.
Videos, Kevin. Not Bean. One on the internet.
Yeah, they become
thousands of people a day put stuff up, and if it's a big enough fail, it becomes viral, and you get your
right. But they didn't
1 second of fame.
They didn't shoot this video and then upload it to the internet. It's something that happened on live television that then became a viral clip because it was a fail.
Could it have been their intention?
It wouldn't make any sense.
Could it have been?
Is it possible in some weird universe that you live in? Yes, it's possible. It wouldn't make any sense, though.
In some universe where you live. I love it.
Not here in the world.
Here's the audio. Just a little bit of the end of it where she shoots him supposedly in the neck. And then,
she shoots him in the neck.
Yeah, whatever. And then he's like, I'm all right.
All right, here it is.
So come on, join in.
What are we listening to?
All right. Now it's him.
All right.
Is everything okay? Are you okay? He's okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
sure.
Kid Cannon.
He's okay.
You're not on fire.
I'm okay. He's all right. He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad he didn't die.
So we're on the same page. We agree. Fake.
No. I think we need a vacation, you guys. A lot of arguing going on today. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Allie won't take aspirin.
No, I will take aspirin.
Because it's a year old.
I went to get Advil, mm-hmm, and it expired in July of 2015.
Right, but it doesn't sour. It's not like milk.
Well, what's the point of taking it if it's not going to work?
It's going to work. Your assumption is the day after that date it stops working?
Not the day. I wouldn't take it 5 months later.
I would take it 5 years later.
A year and a month. See?
Okay.
Whatever.
All right, let's move on.
Hey,
by the way, that's very possible that we're both idiots. That's very possible.
Donald Trump is having a very bad week. I think you could argue that this has been the worst week since he announced he wanted to run for president in terms of the number of negative stories about him and things that have happened. He didn't make any he didn't make a lot of friends with the fight that he seemed to pick with Kaiser Khan,
right,
the Democratic National Convention. He's lost a lot of support from that. He is already talking about how the election is going to be stolen. If I don't win, that means they stole the election. That's making a lot of people uncomfortable that he's questioning the integrity of the voting system. He what else did he do this week? He was quoted as saying the New York Times doesn't write good. That was something else he did this week. The most hateful thing in a lot of people's mind that he did, the barbaric thing that they couldn't believe they saw in our potential future leader, is that he put out a photo of himself on his Trump plane eating Kentucky Fried Chicken with a knife and fork.
Yeah, that should disqualify him immediately.
Whoa.
Kentucky. You don't eat Kentucky Fried Chicken with a knife and a fork.
No.
I only eat Kentucky Fried Chicken with a knife and fork. So I support Mr. Trump on that. That's one place where he and I are living in the same world. But anyway, so
he also said, hey, if we have nuclear weapons, how come we can't use them?
Why can't we use nuclear weapons? We've got them, you guys. Come on.
He's on that was fire.
A big story. So it's been a bad week for Mr. Trump. However, I'm here to bring good news
okay.
to the people who are Trump supporters. And I know we have a lot of listeners who plan on voting for Mr. Trump. And the good news is that he has a series of videos right now that have become crazy, crazy popular. They are dubbed videos. They are videos where his voice, every word exactly as he uttered it, is being dubbed over by someone else. And in this case, it's Peter – how do I pronounce his last name, Ali? Serafinowicz? Is that right? Peter Serafinowicz?
Sure.
Sounds right.
He is a comedian. He is an actor. He is you've seen him in Shaun of the Dead and a bunch of other stuff. He's a BBC sketch comedian. And he has dubbed over future President Trump's television appearances with a different voice. And I'm telling you what, people are loving it.
So, this isn't bad lip reading where they put different words.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is really what Mr. Trump said, but okay. Peter is doing the voices. For instance, this is the speech that he gave right after the Democratic National Convention where he's talking about how hard they hit him at the convention and in particular how mad he was, although he doesn't mention him, at Mayor Bloomberg. And here is Donald Trump as you've never heard him before.
The things that were said about me. I mean, shall I go through some of the names? You know what? I wanted to hit a couple of those speakers so hard. I would have hit them. No. Nah. I was gonna hit them, so I was all set. And then I got a call from a highly respected governor.
How's it going, Donald?
I say, well, it's going good. They're really saying bad things about me. I'm gonna hit them so hard. I was gonna hit one guy in particular. A very little guy. I was going to hit this guy so hard his head would spin. He wouldn't know what the hell happened.
Okay, so that's example one of Peter's video. Up next is this.
It's so much less offensive.
It is, right?
Yes.
George Stephanopoulos is interviewing Donald Trump about the seemingly cozy relationship that he has had over the years with Vladimir Putin. In fact, Trump goes so far as to say in speeches how much he admires President Putin. And George is asking him about that.
Let's talk about Russia. You made a lot of headlines with Russia this week. What exactly is your relationship with Vladimir Putin?
I have no relationship with Putin. I have no relationship with Putin.
But if you have no relationship with Putin, then why did you say in 2013, I do have a relationship in 2014?
Because he said nice things about me over the years. I remember years ago he said something, many years ago, he said something very nice about me. I said something good about him when Larry King was on. This is a long time ago. And I said, here's a tough cookie, or something to that effect. He said something nice about me. This has been going on. We did 60 Minutes together. By the way, not together, meaning he was probably shot in Moscow and I was in New York.
That's the thing.
No, just so you understand. He said very nice things about me, but I have no relationship with him. I don't. I've never met him.
3 years, 13, 14, and 15, that you did have a relationship with him.
No, look, what do you call a relationship? I mean, he treats me with great respect.
So it's funny how different you hear a person, think of a person, when they have a completely different voice. I mean, your voice has a lot to do with what your perception is, right?
Yeah.
And one more, and this is a video that was very popular that you saw of Donald Trump with the baby at the speech the other day, right? A lady had a baby in the crowd that was crying, and Donald Trump said, oh, it's fine, I love the baby. And then like 15 seconds later, he's like, can you get the baby out of here? Well, it sounds a little bit different when it's dubbed the way Peter does.
When China devalues its currency, they're making it impossible for our companies to compete. But China doesn't want, and I'm very close to China. I have the biggest bank in the world is a tenant of mine in New York. The biggest in the world, a Chinese bank. Don't worry about that baby, I love baby itself. I love babies. I hear that baby crying. I like it. I like it. What a baby. What a beautiful baby. Don't worry. The mom is running around like, don't worry about it, you know. It's young and beautiful and healthy, and that's what we want. Okay, but look. China.
So now it goes back to his speech.
Right.
In a few seconds, the baby's going to start crying again.
To shreds.
And he's going to change his mind about
ripped
it.
Ripped us absolutely to shreds. Actually, I was only kidding. Can you get the baby out of here? That's all right. Don't worry. I think she believed me when I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking. That's okay. People don't understand. That's okay.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Star Wars fans, you don't want to miss it. We're going to talk to Nick Finch. He is the director of The Sable Corsair, the winner of the Star Wars fan fiction film event. So that's going to be fun coming up just after 7. Also, your tickets for Radiohead at the Shrine next half hour as well. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey. So the Olympics actually kicked off last night, and the U.S. soccer team, the women's team, of course.
Of course, because the men didn't qualify.
The men aren't there. they were playing New Zealand. But prior to this, I think it was about a week ago, Hope Solo, who's the goalie of the team, she posted a picture on Instagram with a mosquito net over her face. She had like a bandana over half of her face as well, a huge jug of mosquito repellent. And she said, not sharing this, get your own, hashtag Zika proof, hashtag road to Rio. She posted this. And Brazilian fans did not take kindly to it.
Well, then they shouldn't have so much Zika in their country.
That's a great point.
Agreed.
As well.
How about have less of that?
Have less Zika then, right? But they made it very known. I think they booed every single time she got the ball,
every
right?
Every time the ball got near Hope Solo, they booed.
But then they also just yelled the word Zika in perfect unison. We actually have some tape of it, and I am very impressed.
This is every time Hope Solo had the ball and is going to kick it, like they do, like Mexicans fans do with, you know, that word.
The P word?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, and they all just yelled, Zika!
Oh, yeah, Hope Solo. Caraca, this is Tatooine.
I mean, it's perfect.
Every time she kicked the ball, they would yell Zika.
I mean, did they, like, have a mass text beforehand? We're just going to yell Zika?
I think that crowd is pretty used to yelling stuff in unison, probably.
It was really nice.
It was pretty sweet.
Really nice. Well, it definitely didn't get into her head. The U.S. won the game. I was told by Dave, producer Dave, not to say 2-0. I have to say 2-0. Well, or as Dave said it, 2-0.
You have to say 2-0. Yeah, it's 2-0. It's 2-0.
Captain,
yeah.
And 2-0. So they won last night, and she was asked if the reception she got in the stadium got into her head, and she said, nope, a loud stadium is better than a quiet one, even if it means getting booed.
Hey, I'm just happy anytime Hope Solo's in the news and she's not being arrested.
Yeah, she's not drinking, she's not beating family
fights.
Members. Yeah, it's nice to see Hope. Good times. We all love James Corden.
Sure.
And
sure.
One of the best things that he does is the carpool karaoke. Mm-hmm. Adele, the First Lady, Chris Martin, Bieber. I mean, he's had basically everyone you want
Chili
in that
peppers.
Car. Chili Peppers. Mm-hmm. Just so good. Well, now he reveals that Kanye West has been asked to do it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's had to cancel both times. He said something came up. He'll do it eventually. He wants to do it. But when he canceled, he sent 3 dozen white roses arranged in the shape of a cube.
Shape of a cube?
I don't know.
Okay. To but say he's sorry
to say,
for canceling?
To say, hey, sorry about canceling not once, but twice. Which Is seems he... to be kind of his MO, not really following through with different things like this. But he says,
can they not fit the auto-tune in the back seat?
I don't know what it is, but he wants him to rap with him in the car, so.
Because, baby, I'm awesome. Also.
Also what?
I'm also awesome.
You sure?
Y'all know.
Oh. So there. But his dream guest? Who do you think James Corden's dream guest would be? What?
Barbra Streisand?
No.
Well, that's a reasonable guess.
It is, but I would never have thought Barbra Streisand first.
All four Beatles?
I don't think that's possible, but that would be a dream.
See, he's from England. Does that make any difference?
It does not in
okay,
this case.
Okay, it does not. Okay.
Who's the biggest star in the world?
Fetty Wap?
Yes, Fetty Wap.
How about
Taylor Swift.
Casey and the Sunshine Band?
No, shockingly. No. That would be quite a get in
Taylor
that car.
Taylor Swift.
It is not Taylor
Swift.
Yes,
I'm very happy. All right.
Who is the
Beyonce.
Yes! Bean, come on, man.
Beyonce makes a lot of sense.
Beyonce makes so much sense. He said the dream would be Beyonce. It would break the internet. She's on tour right now, but we are working on it. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Count Smokey Love.
He would actually be Kevin's favorite. Absolutely. Did you guys see this story about Barney's selling some shirts?
No.
I don't understand how this is possible.
Okay, Kevin.
They'll sell zero, I hope, right?
No, they won't. They will sell many, and it's absurd. They are now selling Black Flag and Joy Division t-shirts.
Okay.
At Barney's, which, fine. All right, just sell them. How much do you think they are selling these t-shirts for? T-shirts you would literally see anyone wearing that took very little effort.
I'm guessing this story is about Barney's marking it up, so I would say $60.
You would?
Uh-huh. That's a lot for a t-shirt.
Add $205 to that, Kevin.
Really?
And it looks like the same t-shirt you can get at Target for $20.
Same exact one. $265 for the Black Flag shirt. Joy Divisions, though, sad for them. Theirs is only $225.
Oh, only $225?
A t-shirt. And some jackass is going to go in and buy it and be like, yeah, I love Black Flag. They're my favorite band. Really,
they
won't
even
one
know they're
song.
A band.
I can't. $265, you guys, for a t-shirt. What's happening?
I don't get it.
And if you're wondering why the Black Flag shirt is more expensive, it has zippers.
Sure.
Chip is shaking her head. She's so angry.
I've had it.
Right?
I have too, Rodney. It is absurd. But not absurd. The birth of all of these people. They are celebrating their birthday today, August 4th. We have got what I said, race car driver Jeff Gordon, and it just sounded like he was a five-year-old. So Dave said to change it to, he does it all, man, Jeff Gordon.
Yeah.
So Jeff Gordon is 45. Daniel Day Kim is 48. President Barack Obama is 55. And actor Billy Bob Thornton is 61. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show with Speed.
There are Star Wars fans, and then there are Nick Finch-level Star Wars fans. Give me a little of that theme song, would you please? The Sable Corsair is the name of the winner of the 2016 Audience Choice Star Wars Fan Film Award. And that is a very prestigious honor, and we are very welcoming to, and well said,
to
Nick Finch, writer-director and actor for The Sable Corsair. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Thanks for having me in here. This is awesome.
It's great to have you. Congratulations. Now, we were talking about this earlier today. If I understand correctly, the win is just a hearty handshake, right? It's just well done.
Yeah, basically, it's a really expensive pat on the back.
That's
but,
it?
Yeah, they give us a little bit. You get a little bit of merchandise and some signed prints, but basically, that's it.
You don't get
some
a job.
Past winners have gotten recognized from Lucas, Spielberg.
Oh,
huge,
yeah.
Huge, huge, huge people.
Gone on to be, like, legitimate full-time directors working on huge shows and movies. So that was kind of one of the inspirations for getting this thing done.
Yeah.
Well, it's obvious from watching the film, which is at StarWars.com, by the way, it's obvious that you are a very talented, you know, writer, actor, director. You're working in the industry now?
I basically work most as an actor. I do a lot of commercials and stuff like that, but trying to bridge the gap now to get into more, doing some more theatrical stuff, doing some TV and some film.
Have you entered this type of contest before?
No, this was my first time.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, like I've done other stuff just like on the fly with my friends just to get some footage, but this was the first time because my partner, my creative partner who I actually co-directed this with, his name's Jeff Henderson, he came to me with the idea, me and my brother Chris, and was like, hey, we've always talked about working together. Here's a perfect opportunity. We got 5 weeks to pull this off. You want to do it? And I was like, hell yeah, let's do this.
And it does not look like it was 5 weeks. It looks like years in the making.
Oh,
it is shot so beautifully.
Thank you.
Where the heck was that?
That was in
Tatooine.
I know.
It felt like it. It felt like where like Return of the Jedi was.
It was so cool. That was the Glamis Sand Dunes down towards
at
like
Glamis,
San Diego.
No kidding.
Yeah, because I grew up in Southern California, so all my friends used to go out there and ride dirt bikes and quads.
Sure.
So when me and Jeff were sitting down figuring out the idea, it was like, okay, we don't have much money, so what can we do where we don't have to build sets and everything and it's going to look like another planet? And I was like, Glamis. And so I took him out there. He'd never been out there. And you go through this weird, like, middle America looking towns and stuff. And once you cross over this one plane, it's just 40 miles of untouched sand dunes.
Just sand dunes,
like,
forever.
Holy crap.
Did a what do you call it? ATV come through your set at some point?
Oh, the
cut, dude.
Oh, the whole time.
Come on, we're making a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
here.
We're trying to record sound, and then you're battling the wind, which was bad enough. But then all of a sudden, you see these ATVs and dirt bikes ride through. You're like, all right, let's just hold for a second, let them pass. And then they would see us filming, and they're like, oh. And then they'd just sit there and idle and, like, rev their bikes. We're like, can you please move on now?
Hey, great. I see you. Yeah. I see you. You're revving it. Good. Good for you.
And it's like 100 degrees out there, too, right?
Oh, I think most of the days it was, like, 108.
Well, you weren't in costume, so that's good.
Which was worse. And there's this weird thing out in the desert, too, where things don't seem that far. So we had a base camp, and we'd be like, oh, that doesn't look that far. Let's go out and shoot over in this area. But when you're trekking through, like, carrying equipment, because we're, like, bones. We're just carrying everything, and we're in full leather jackets and stuff like that, and trying to march through where you think something's like, oh, it's 100 yards away. It ends up being like a 25-minute walk.
It's like a two-minute walk. What?
Yeah.
25 minutes?
Yeah, easily.
So Nick, you're a Star Wars fan, obviously, and so is Jeff. And were you aware of this competition before? Is this something that in years past you have watched other people and the entries that they had submitted?
Yeah, I mean, I knew of it. I'd seen a lot of fan films. I know me and Jeff both have seen a lot. But we knew of it, but we'd never even thought about trying to do something for it. But the other fan films, over the years, it's been some crazy great ones.
Oh, you can't tell the difference between the fan films and the real films anymore.
Some
the
of them, I mean, there's some that are
incredible.
There's some that are painful to watch. But then,
sure, of course,
some of them you see them, you're like, is this like a legitimate thing? Like, this is so well done.
How did they do that?
Yeah.
How many entries were there this year for the Fan Film Award?
I want to say there was at least 500, and it was international,
my gosh.
Too.
Wow.
So it was to be able to get selected, because the main judges were J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh,
so,
just them?
I know, right? So just to be able to get narrowed down to the top 25 was like, holy crap.
That's crazy. Yeah.
They picked our film. We're in the top 25. We already... To us, it's like we made a Star Wars film with our best friends. J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy saw this, picked us as a finalist. We win.
Right.
Done.
Right. No matter what happens now. Right.
Yeah, regardless. But then to go on and actually receive this award and be able to go to London to the big Star Wars Celebration Europe and like go on stage, and there's like hundreds of thousands of people there. And it's
unreal.
Like, it was surreal. Like, I'm still processing this.
Oh, my
it's
God. What
crazy.
A buzz.
Did now, you meet J.J.?
No, I didn't get to meet. I think he was busy doing the tour for Star Trek, so he couldn't make it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
How many people have seen your film, Nick?
You know what? I have no idea, because they have to host it on their website, and it's not like YouTube where you can see like the actual count, which drives me nuts.
I'm sure.
That's the only thing I want to see is like how many people will watch this thing.
It's only 5.5 minutes?
It's 5 minutes. That was one of their stipulations. It couldn't be a second over 5 minutes. So to try to get it down to
tell a whole story in 5 minutes is way harder than you would think.
Because we tried to do it, and we had like a 12-page script, and we're like, okay, this will be perfect. And then once we start getting the editing room, the first cut was, I think, 12 minutes. And it's like, oh crap.
How do we cut this more than in half?
How do we get seven minutes off of this thing and still tell like a cohesive story?
If you're just joining us, this is the voice of writer-director, actor Nick Finch here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the guys, along with his partner Jeff Henderson, behind the Sable Corsair, which was the winner of the 2016 Audience Choice Star Wars Fan Film Award. And Lucasfilm is interesting, and I guess now Disney is interesting in that they not only allow but encourage you to use their characters and their music and a lot of things that other film companies, I feel like, they do everything they can to scrub those fan films off the internet.
Absolutely. It's weird because I just don't get it, because I don't know why you would want to try to stifle and put a gag in the mouth of all these fans. You know they're going to do it, especially with technology now and cameras and stuff.
Yeah, the ability now.
People are going to do this, so you might as well embrace it. And that's the genius thing that Lucas and Disney have done. It's like they gave us all the tools. Okay, here, you have a five-minute window to do this. Here's all sound effects. They give us a whole sound pack of all different effects clip, music cues. So it's like, here, use our stuff, work in these limitations, and we'll support you, and you can totally do it.
I imagine that the thing that they're afraid of are the bad ones, though. I imagine it's like,
and the people who make Darth Vader, you know, start having sex and things like
exactly.
that. That's what they're trying
to
get away from.
That's one of the big things is like, you can't use profanity, you can't do any kind of like gruesome stuff.
But Vader nailed everything that moved, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Come on.
How could he not?
Wouldn't you?
Right?
Absolutely. I'll give you a little force push. There you go.
What's it like? Dark side jokes. I'm just reframing.
What's it like for you, even though you know that you guys wrote this and you and your friends are all acting in it, when you're standing there in the desert and you look up and there's Boba Fett, you still have to feel like the little kid seeing Star Wars, don't
you? I can't even describe that moment into words because that was our last day of filming. We had 3 days to shoot this thing. We technically lost a day and a half due to like sandstorms and like equipment malfunction.
So that's no filmmaker. Like, come on, work that in. That,
like everything that could have gone wrong did. But there was one moment on our final day when all the troopers showed up, which shout out to the 501st. They are awesome. Those guys came through for us and made our film look legit. So Southern California Garrison, Route 66 Patrol. But we're out in the middle of the desert. We're in the middle of shooting a scene, and we all just stopped and our mouths dropped because we look over and coming over one of the sand dunes is two sand troopers and Boba Fett, like, fully decked out, guns drawn. They even had, like, the walkie voices going back and forth, and all of us, like, basically started crying. It's like, holy crap, this is really awesome.
We're living in a movie.
We're doing this. It was amazing.
What have you heard from anyone with work for you since they've seen your film, Nick?
I've got a few jobs lined up that this definitely has helped a lot.
Great.
And opened a lot of doors. So fingers crossed. That's one of the other reasons me and Jeff tried to do this thing is to be able to like people to watch this and go, wait, who are these guys? Where did these guys come from? They did this in 5 weeks on their own dime. Like that's pretty impressive. So yeah, I got a couple music videos I'm going to be doing actually directing next month. And then I have two films that I actually get to act in probably end of September, early October.
All right.
So it's definitely helped.
You're going to be too big a star to come back.
I'll take more. If anybody's listening, I will take some jobs, and so will Jeff.
The name of this is The Sable Corsair, and we put a link in our Twitter, Kevin and Bean Twitter, and the Kevin and Bean Facebook, so that you can watch this movie. It's 5 minutes long, so you'll have time. And
it's quick, painless.
It's amazing.
Congratulations, so man. Seriously.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. This is so awesome. I grew up here. I grew up listening to you guys, so this is totally surreal to be here.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Of course.
StarWars.com as well, and you can follow Nick on Twitter at TheNickFinch. All right, we're looking for Radiohead fans now. Changing gears here. If you want to go to the show at the Shrine, they're playing tonight, and they're also playing Monday. How should we sell for this? You just know their song titles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
That's what we're looking for.
Yes.
You know Radiohead's song titles because you love them. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Get a chance to win those tickets next right here on K-Rock.
Hey! Chip celebrates every time like it was the best ever.
Right.
Nailed it, right.
Not everything is a touchdown, Chip. Occasionally you are intercepted, my dear.
You should know that as a Dolphins fan.
That's right. Hey, Alan McKay, I'm just giving you a heads up if you want to fix your hair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
David Harbour, actor David Harbour from Stranger Things, he plays the Sheriff Hopper on that show.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be joining us in about 15 minutes or so.
Well, let's not belittle him. He's the chief.
He is the chief.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He is
Put some respect on his name.
Okay. Anyway, right. I just want to warn you because I know how you feel about him and I know how you feel
so
about Stranger
much.
Things. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up. First, though, we want to give you tickets to go see Radiohead. They're going to be playing tonight, of course, at the Shrine, and then again on Monday night. Looks like the lines are all loaded up with Radiohead fans at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called Real Head or Fake Head.
You want to see Radiohead. I hope you're calling from your bed. Come on, let's play Fake Head.
Oh,
real head.
Oh, that hurt. That's a thing that Omar did. All right, Allie, how's this one played?
I'm going to give you three song titles. You only have to pick the real Radiohead song title.
So two are fake, one is real.
Simple.
All right. For a Radiohead fan, that should be pretty easy. Who's
Absolutely.
Our first contestant, Kevin?
First is Crystal in Alhambra. Good morning, Crystal.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Crystal. All right, I'm going to give you three song titles. Which one is real Radiohead? Is it Sweet Spirit? Spirit Animals, or Street Spirit?
Street Spirit.
That's correct.
We don't have that long a clip to, you know, play the whole thing, but Marcel in Montebello is next. Hi, Marcel.
Hey, morning, guys.
Good morning, Marcel. Is the real Radiohead song Peaky Blinders, House of Cards or Bloodline?
What was the second one?
House of Cards.
It was
House of Cards.
Thank you for the call. Let's
leave it to Allie to find a way to work Peaky Blinders into the Radiohead game.
It's a gift. Thank you.
Justin in North Hollywood. Hi.
Morning.
Hey, Justin. All right. Your three song titles. Which one is real Radiohead? Is it Morning Bell, Morning Wood, Morning Becomes Eclectic?
Morning Bell.
That's correct. Nicely done.
All right. Two out of three. Not bad. You guys, who's next?
That's jarring. It's painful, right?
Not good.
Frank and Hacienda Heights, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Frank, how have you been doing online?
I'm good. 100%.
All right.
Awesome.
Great.
All right, this should be easy then. Is the real Radiohead song Melanie, Melanin, or Melatonin?
Melatonin.
Correct. I mean. I don't know that we need those clips. I feel like that's not helping us.
Well, I think we're just trying to prove that that really is the song and it does exist, maybe.
All right. Shannon is next from Valley Glen. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
Hi, Shannon. Here are your three songs. Give Me Your Love, Give Up the Ghost, Give a Hand to My Band, Sexual Chocolate.
Oh, my God. I think it's Give Up the Ghost.
It is.
I think you're right.
I wish it was Give a Hand to My Band, Sexual Chocolates.
I would like to hear that song as well.
I would as well.
We are playing for tickets to see Radiohead at the Shrine. Again, this game is called Fake Head or Real Head.
Fake Head or Real Head.
You know, he picks that. He could probably lower the key.
Oh,
he
wow.
could, so that he could actually hit that note. Andrew is next from Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, which one is the real Radiohead song? Is it A Wolf at the Door, A Bird in the Hand, or A Shark in the Pool?
A Bird in the Hand?
It is A Wolf at the Door off of Hail to the Chief. I keep the world
from a door. All right.
Hail to the Thief, you mean, by the way.
Let's go to Paul.
Did I say Chief?
Yes.
In West Covina.
Hey, Paul.
Speaking of Chief Hopper, you guys.
I know. I'm helping you not.
I was totally thinking of Chief Hopper.
Chief on the braid. All right, we got time for a couple more contestants. Get him in the drawing for Radiohead tickets.
All right, you ready, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Is the real song Paperback Writer, Paper Bag Writer, or Paperboy Rider?
Oh, geez, I know this one.
Oh, good. Excellent. Tell us.
Paperback Writer, it's got to be.
That's a Beatles song. It is Paper Bag Writer.
All right, one more. Let's try Danielle and Diamond Bar. Hi there.
Hi.
All right, here you go, Daniel. One of these is an actual Radiohead song. Is it Bangers and Mash, Cottage Pie, or Fish and Chips?
Fish and Chips.
Oh, sorry. It was Bangers and Mash.
So I did enjoy the tour through English pub
did
food.
You like that?
That was very nice. Yeah. I like the theme there.
You're welcome.
All right, Crystal, Justin, Frank, Shannon, you guys all hang on. You're all in the drawing. One of you will win tickets to go see Radiohead at the Shrine. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
Chip has the winner.
The winner is Crystal.
Crystal.
Congratulations, Crystal.
Thank you.
You won the tickets. Enjoy Radiohead, and thanks for playing the game.
You going to behave yourself, Allie?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're not going to embarrass the show with your love for Mr. Harbour and his show Stranger
Things?
I'm fine.
I think he can hear you, by the way.
David Harbour has been... He's one of those actors that you go, oh, my God, I love that guy. And you can't believe the number of things that he is in, including this weekend's Suicide Squad, by the way. But the reason he's here today is to talk about Stranger Things, which is the show everyone is talking about on Netflix. Mr. Harbour, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm kind of holed up in my apartment here, but I'm all right.
Because of your Achilles.
Yeah, I snapped my left Achilles tendon on stage here in New York in Shakespeare in the Park, and I was actually in a play called Troilus and Griffin, and I was actually playing Achilles.
You are so very method.
I'm very method, yeah. It was a really great performance if you saw that one.
But I got to tell you.
I'm on the couch. I'm smelling bad. It's really a grim situation.
Oh, well, this took a turn. I don't think we needed that.
Not so sexy now,
not
is he,
so much.
Allie?
Not so much.
just audio. Yeah, I'll kill Allie's obsession.
Right.
So when you have is it a torn Achilles heel? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a complete tear. Yeah,
oh,
complete tear.
Man.
I felt it on stage too. Like I felt it like pop. It just like, you know, felt like you just like a rubber band. Like you just popped the rubber band.
Oh, that sounds painful.
My left foot just wouldn't respond to commands. I kept, you know, saying my brain kept saying move forward, and my left foot was like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
So, do they? Are you in a cast or a wrap or something like that, or do you have to stay off of it for weeks?
I do a cast tomorrow, but yeah, you have to stay completely off it, so you can't put any pressure down. So like, I'm on crutches and everything, which are not as fun as they look. Crutches would be like being on a swing, sort of.
No,
it's actually, it's surprisingly difficult. I've never had an injury like this before, so it's not. Yeah, it's not fun to be on crutches.
David, you need to get a Segway. Come on, come on, man.
Those are still a thing, right?
Get with it.
Are they a thing?
Yes, they are.
No. Monica, like on a tour when you're a tourist.
He couldn't act on a stage. Do not get him on a Segway.
I'm just saying, it beats
That's
crutches.
True. I'm accident prone. That's true.
Well, listen, I have. I'm gonna help you out here, David, because I have some great advice that I'm gonna give you that is the same advice I give to everybody else who finds themselves, immobile and they gotta stay home and they gotta just watch TV. There's a show on Netflix that you have to watch. You're gonna wanna binge this thing, man. It is so great.
Tell me. I need a new show. What's up?
It's called Stranger Things. And I'm telling you, I think you're going to love it.
What's it about, Bean?
Well, let's ask David. How do you explain it to people when you're going around the world talking up Stranger Things?
Let's see. Stranger Things is basically, it's sort of, I guess I would start with it being an homage to the 80s, like these Spielberg movies from the 80s, like E.T. and stuff like that. It has that, it's set in 1983, and basically a young boy goes missing in this small town in Indiana, in a town called Hawkins, Indiana. And the mother of the child and this alcoholic pill popping sheriff have to go searching for him, and then also his friends who are like 10, 11, 12 start to search for him as well. And then there's a third storyline with these teenagers who are the older brothers and sisters, and they're all searching for him as well. And we start to uncover that there's a grand conspiracy in this town, and you know, there's a monster too, and there's all this other stuff, which I don't want to tell you too much, but basically there's a lot more to this little town than we initially realized.
When I found out
characters sort of, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. When I found out about Stranger Things, I thought, is this one of those things that I should have been aware was a graphic novel or a comic book or something, or did it just, was it just brand new and it just came out of nowhere?
It's a completely original story by these guys, the Duffer Brothers.
That still happens?
Yeah, isn't that weird? I know it's not based on anything.
But it must be a video game at some point in its past, right?
Well, we're hoping to make it into a video game. I mean, it would be a great, like, 8-bit Super Nintendo video game. The ones that I loved as a kid. So it's either going to be that or a choose-your-own-adventure book.
Now, David, when did you start seeing this taking a life of its own? Because it was released, I think, July 15th on Netflix, and that is the day I started seeing tweets about it. But then it got to the point where every single person I knew was talking about it. When did you just say, whoa, this thing is taking off?
I mean, it was that weekend, because it came out, you know, it's funny, it came out Thursday night at midnight, right? So the first, but it was midnight Pacific time, and I'm here in New York, so I stayed up like a drug addict till 3 a.m. and like watched the next 2 episodes and then finished it off that Friday night, because I hadn't seen like 60 episodes. And then like Saturday and Sunday, I started seeing stuff about it. I mean, the funny thing was, I didn't see any ads really in
Nothing.
New York for it. I didn't see any billboards.
I didn't see
any
word of mouth. I didn't see any here either.
To myself, I mean, I had seen a couple of the episodes. I thought it was damn good, you know. And then I didn't see any ads, and I thought, well, maybe Netflix is just burying this. Maybe it's terrible. And then what started to happen was people started to see it and started to tell their friends. And it became, you know, sort of like one of these word of mouth things, which I find so much more gratifying. Because
right.
You're not bombarded with
it's
all
hype.
This. Like, you have to watch this show. It's not hype and all this way. And I find that so gratifying, because I feel like people are genuinely moved by the show and genuinely love it. And that's why they're watching it. That's why they're telling their friends. And I think that's
well,
like
Let me say, this is the voice of actor David Harbour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's one of the stars of Stranger Things on Netflix, which you have to watch. You're a guy who's, as we mentioned, in lots of movies, lots of TV shows, and you're a fancy actor, and you're working with the Aaron Sorkins and the Woody Allens and those types of people. So these relative unknowns come to you with a series on Netflix. Was there any part of you that said, eh, not for me, don't need it? Or did you just connect so strongly with the script that you said, oh, my God, I got to be a part of this?
Yeah, I mean, I read the script, and it was the best pilot script I think I've ever read. I mean, just the detail and the humor and the, you know, and it's just this thing of there's magic in it. I mean, when you watch the show, like, I think we've grown a little cynical in our movies, and we're a little bit about flash and about money, and this really felt like a genuinely, like, magical experience, which I feel like Spielberg and those guys were trying to create in the late 70s and early 80s. So I like, when I read it, I felt that magic. And I mean, my concern was that they wouldn't want me. I was like, everybody's going to want to play this role. It's such a good role. There's no way they're going to be interested in me for this. But they were, you know, and it was funny. Like, I do make fun of these kids, the Duffer brothers. I mean, I call them kids. They're 30-year-old twins, and they haven't done much. And like, how they got a deal with the Netflix, and they're like directing all the episodes, and they're, but it's just because they're just pure, like, little geniuses.
I heard they got rejected, like, by 15 different networks before Netflix bought it.
I mean, I believe it. I believe it because these guys are completely untested. I mean, they really shouldn't be able to be as steady of a director as they are. Like, it's not fair. It's not fair.
David's really angry about the success of this show.
It sounds like it's really upsetting him.
It's very aggressive.
It's not fair. None of us deserve it.
Well, I mean just honestly, when you write and direct a show, usually you have a learning curve, and your early stuff sucks, and then you get better and better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These guys are screwed. Let's be honest. Right?
Our first season should have been a lot worse.
Right.
A lot worse.
All right. Before we run out of time, David, let's spend a moment talking about this phenomenal cast that you have, most of whom are little kids. I mean, it's so rare to find one kid who can be as great as these, and you got a whole show full of them.
Yeah, they're amazing, and they're so unique and individual, and they are kids. You know, they're genuine kids. I mean, a lot of kid actors that you find are sort of polished or sort of, you know, put together in a certain way. And these kids are, to their credit and to their detriment, are children. So, like, when you act with them, occasionally they will fart during a take. You know, things like that.
I know it.
Wow, you're like a 12-year-old boy. Like, you're a 12-year-old boy. And it's what makes the show so alive. And it's also, you know, what allows my character to be so frustrated with those kids throughout the whole process. But it really is what is special about them is that they're just kids. They're also excellent actors.
They really are. Allie, who's your favorite? Who's the little boy that you love so much?
I love Dustin so much.
I know, right? Toothless.
Oh, yeah. I want him in my pocket for the rest of time.
In your pocket?
Well, just carry him around.
I don't think you're alone, Allie.
I am not.
I feel like he has a pretty big fan base.
I posted a picture of him on Instagram and felt creepy until I read all the comments. I'm like, I am not alone with my love for Dustin.
Well, this...
he's pretty amazing.
As Mr. Harbour mentioned, this is not a hype thing. This is a show that people see and they love and they tell their friends, and you should be watching Stranger Things on Netflix. It really is the surprise of 2016.
I'm sorry,
we're going to have to save it for another time, Allie.
Why 11? Are there 10 other superpowered children? Mr. Clark, why does he know so much?
Okay.
Why is Barb dead?
Yeah, so,
why?
I know.
Look, you can ask one more.
We got to wait. We got to get Netflix to pick it up for a second season, and then we'll see.
How does Netflix already not have that renewed?
It's absurd.
I don't know. We gotta get on them. I would love to go back and play some more Hopper, and I'd love to answer those questions that we sort of leave unanswered. But, you know, we gotta wait for the call.
Well, I think it's especially fitting now that you're playing a character named Hopper now that you're on crutches.
See? Oh, for the love of God. That's how we're ending it?
Well,
that's how we're ending it.
Allie's very
disappointed. I like a little snarky.
Stranger Things on Netflix. David, good luck with your foot, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on. We really enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you. Take care.
Appreciate it. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Dr. Drew Pinsky at 9 o'clock this morning. And coming up next, just after 8, we'll catch up with our old friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We're talking pro football, you guys.
Okay. Allie's in now for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Remember the Chief Hopper times?
Yeah, it was 5 minutes ago.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah,
when we were talking to the actor from that show. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Modest Mouse lead singer Isaac Brock had a rough go of things yesterday. He was driving up in Portland, Oregon when he dozed off.
Oh, no.
Smashed into the back of a city parks vehicle, which then hit a third, which then hit a fourth, which then hit a fifth car.
Wow.
And if you look at the picture, it is, it's not good on TMZ. His car is just smashed. But, is that you snoring?
What's happening?
Little sound effects to go along with your Isaac Brock story. You said he fell asleep behind the wheel,
that
right?
That is the worst snore ever. Yep, okay.
This, by the way, this snore is from Chad from Bachelor in Paradise a couple of nights ago and fallen asleep on the beach.
Oh, when he pooped his pants?
Yeah.
All right, Chad. Thank you.
Let me know when you've had enough.
Now.
We've had enough.
Yeah. He suffered a bruised sternum from the airbag, but definitely saved his life. One of the other drivers was hospitalized with a concussion. They checked him for impairment, but he literally just fell asleep. So he was only cited for careless driving. That could have wound up... And we got it, Chad. That could have wound up... Okay. So much worse.
Heard but. Enough. Yep. That's someone snoring.
Yeah.
We can all picture it.
You guys excited about Gilmore Girls coming back?
Yes, very much so.
Me too.
Very much so.
Me too. And we know that Netflix made all 7 seasons available to subscribers July 1st. And yesterday, the Up Network, which you might know formerly as GMC TV and originally the Gospel Music Channel.
What's happening?
I don't know. I don't know any of these words. They announced that they will air all 153 episodes in a mega marathon beginning Friday, November 18th. It's going to last until Friday, November 25th. At 3 a.m., which is the exact time that Netflix will be releasing all 4 of their new episodes of the reboot, Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life.
Allie, you were on board with the Gilmore Girls.
Love, okay. Love, love.
It used to just be Dave and me, so I'm glad that we have a new Gilmore friend.
Wow.
Would you consider yourself a Gilmore friend?
Well, now I'm questioning whether I want to be in this club.
It's bad company, right?
Sounds like a crap club.
So you know what? I'm starting today. To agree with you. I'll tell you.
Right?
Did any of you see The Secret Life of Pets?
I did not. I wanted to. Though.
I wanted to, too, and I
good.
Don't know why
I did.
Oh, Dave did. And
of
you
course.
Loved it, Dave, right?
I did, yes.
Well, it'll come as no surprise because it was a monster hit and still is in the top 10 now. And it's been out for, what, over a month, I think. But it has been such a hit that there's already a sequel in the works. Universal
that was
Pictures.
So average.
It was not. It was the opposite, really, of average. It was...
Excellent.
Yes.
Could you not think of a word the opposite of...
My head is okay. Just on a different level today. Universal Pictures says it'll be in theaters right after the 4th of July in 2018. No word yet on if the cast members that lent their voices, Louis C.K., Eric Stone Street, Kevin Hart...
Other people that were in it.
Will be returning for the sequel. What else you want to talk about? Bean, why have you not seen Hamilton yet?
Yeah, Bean.
I find it shocking.
I think for the same reason most Americans haven't seen Hamilton, because they don't live in New York City where it's playing.
Well, people get on planes.
Right, but it's also go. There's also a year-plus waiting list to get
it
tickets.
It is sold out through May 2017.
I think those are very reasonable explanations as to why I and most people haven't seen Hamilton.
It doesn't have to do with the price of the tickets?
No, I think that's a show that I would splurge for.
Well, here's the thing. On June 2nd, when Lin-Manuel Miranda was still in the show, the median ticket resale price was $1,634. As of July 19th, after he left, the average price is now what? How much would you spend on one ticket, average, to go
without,
see
this without the
musical?
Creator and star, I would with, imagine it's a lot less. I bet you could get a ticket for $300.
$4.50.
Oh, that is a big difference right there. You're both very wrong.
Too extreme?
$797
still.
Is the average price.
In the resale market.
For
that's
the resale.
Not what it cost face value, right?
Well, no, but you're not going to get a face value. It's
right.
Sold out through May 2017, but that is just, that's nuts.
That is nuts. I don't know that I would spend $700 on anything.
I would not.
I absolutely wouldn't.
Rage Against the Machine, that's all.
Okay. You wouldn't spend $700
to
see them.
I would.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yes, I would.
Yeehaw.
Okay, let's do some birthdays. It is August 4th. All of these people are celebrating a birthday. We've got Billy Bob Thornton, 61. Daniel Day Kim is 48. Jeff Gordon is 45. And the president of our great United States, Barack Obama. 55.
There are white folks, okay. And then there are ignorant mother like you.
I don't think that was necessary. 55, I'm Allie McCann for All Car Motion.
I'm not seeing him on hold.
He's on hold.
There he is. Now he's on hold. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Hey, welcome to the Kevin DeBeach here on a Thursday morning. A programming note. Usually at this time every week, we talk to our friend Jim Rome. He's on vacation, but look at this. Look at this. Johnny Red Zone, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Siciliano back on the Kevin DeBeach show.
I'm
Andrew.
Missing you guys.
How are you, man?
I'm okay. How are y'all?
We are good.
What's the tallest mountain you claim to have climbed to the top of over your summer vacation?
Well, I did not summit it, but I did hike for about 2 weeks in the Cordillera Blanca, which is kind of north of Lima, a couple hours in Peru, and did get to 17 one day, 17,000, but that is not the summit of any of the mountains down there. They have a bunch of 20,000 foot peaks. I did not summit any of them.
We saw a bunch of pictures on your Instagram, and we were guessing that you were just doing that with green screen.
Yeah, you were in Burbank.
Yeah, that's generally how I do most things. Actually, I'm 6'4 on a green screen as well.
Although I do have to ask you about the world's largest purple spoon.
Okay. That was in Glacier. I went to Montana for a couple days to Glacier National Park, and driving down the road, they have this outside a diner or who knows what it is. It's just this giant purple wooden spoon, and there's a sign next to it getting obviously trying to get people to stop.
That saying, looks like it was drawn by a 9-year-old.
World's largest purple wooden spoon or something like that.
Yeah. That's pretty very sweet. Specific,
isn't
it's
pretty
it?
Sweet.
That's slicing that category pretty thin to make it wooden and purple to get the record.
Yeah, I don't know if they had both wooden and purple as modifiers, but it was something. It was a giant purple wooden spoon, and of course I was the rube, and I stopped and took a photo.
No, like, you did the right thing.
You did the right thing.
Because that's insanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See how glamorous Andrew Siciliano's life is when he's not on your TV? See all the fun stuff he does? Well, listen.
I'm seeking out roadside attractions in Montana.
Right.
Exactly. We're so glad you're here because I feel like now it's not too early to be excited about pro football.
Fine, right?
Of course not. You should be excited. Camp started a week ago, for Pete's sake. It's here. But we have a game this weekend. There's a game Sunday, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, with the Packers and the Colts. It's the first of 65 preseason games. Football last weekend was the final weekend until the weekend after the Super Bowl without a football game, college included, of some kind.
Come on.
That's good news.
I think you're not.
Thank God. Right. It's not just baseball, right?
Andrew's a big baseball fan, too, by the way, just so you know.
I know.
Andrew, with your duties with around the NFL, you traveled to, what, 7 different training camps, right? In 7 days.
7 in 7 days.
7 in 7 days.
Green Bay to the Jets to the Patriots to the Redskins to the Eagles to the Broncos to the Rams on consecutive days.
Okay. Now here's the question I have for you. Having seen up close and personal how all these teams work doing the same thing, is there a great deal of difference between them? Do you really get a sense of a completely different management style, different vibe, different attitude as you go from city to city?
Sure. There are 32 of these, and they all do it their own way. I think the one thing that links them all together this time of year is that everyone's going to the Super Bowl this year at this in July.
This might be our year, everyone believes.
Right, this is going to be everyone's year. As you go from building to building, you can look at rosters and talk to people and realize that some teams are more lacking than others. But, yeah, to answer your question, so you know, some teams do their thing at home, like the Patriots. I mean, they're in their own building. The Packers are in their own building. The Jets, Giants, in their own building. Some teams do what, say, the Redskins do, which is go 2 hours down the road to Richmond. And they have a facility that they have down there that's been built for them, and they visit their fans in another part of the state and get out of their building and make it more of a camp. The Rams are at UC Irvine. They have a great setup down there. They're in dorm rooms. I mean, some team employees actually had bunk beds. It's going back to college. So it's everyone goes about it a different way. A lot of it has to do with what a coach wants and how he wants to get his team ready. You know, some people just like staying at home. The Broncos stay at home as well. But the veterans this year don't have to stay in the hotel. They actually get to stay with their wife and kids. So everyone's got a different style.
I saw you talking with John Elway. What's he like in person?
John Elway's great. And here's the thing. John Elway is there aren't many out there. And he's one. And Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore is as well. And Elway has a lot more time to get to what Ozzie has done when it comes to being a GM. But he is one of those unique guys that actually you could argue one of these days that he should be in the Hall of Fame as a general manager and as a player. Now,
wow.
It's a little too early for the GM thing, but Ozzie Newsome, you could definitely say that in Baltimore. John Elway's built a Super Bowl team, and he has a team. He won a Super Bowl, and now he has more than enough talent, if they can find out their quarterback, to go back and do it again.
Wow, very impressive. Hey, you mentioned the Rams briefly.
John Elway ruined my childhood, it should be noted.
I'm sorry, what? Yeah.
John
Elway, the Cleveland Browns fan, ruined my childhood.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Everybody that rooted for any other team ruined your childhood.
John Elway in 86, 87, and 89, as I grew up a Browns fan, for those who don't know, and ruined my... I told him that
Did
once,
you tell him that? Yeah.
Many years ago over a beer, and he couldn't care less.
That's funny. Andrew Sicilio on the line with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, host of Around the NFL on the DirecTV Red Zone channel. You mentioned the Rams, and I just wanted to spotlight that for a second, only because I don't know why I was so surprised, but over 10,000 people showed up to watch the Rams practice when they opened it up down there.
Yep, over 10,000.
That's impressive.
And they had 6,000 day two. So 16,000-17,000 that first weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
That bodes well for the franchise, right?
Right, it's great. And I was down there Tuesday, and they had a great crowd on a Tuesday, not a school day, but a weekday afternoon. Kendrick Lamar was there yesterday. DeAndre Jordan was there a couple of days ago. They're getting not just fans, but you know, they're getting the celebs as well. Everybody wants a piece of the Rams, and for good reason.
Very exciting. All right, before we let you go, Andrew, you are on special assignment this week. Tell us about Olympics Gold Zone coverage.
All right, so we did this for Sochi. I am talking to you right now from the NBC Sports headquarters in Connecticut. And we did this for Sochi, and we're doing it again for Rio. It is a red zone type thing. It's the same concept, but we're calling it the Gold Zone. Creative, huh? And basically, we're on all day during the afternoon. It's on NBCOlympics.com because everything is digital these days. Kids, get on the bandwagon. And we are showing any and everything that's happening as it's happening during the afternoon. So if someone's going for a gold in dressage or gymnastics or shooting or anything.
Do you have to show dressage?
We're showing dressage.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Just asking.
We're showing any and everything all day, every day.
What's the most events you might have to cover at one time, Andrew?
75. I don't know, honestly, but we're going to have a big wall just like the red zone. And we're going to be, I think, we're in the NBC Sunday Night Football Night in America studio, and we are going to put as many freaking events on one screen as you can.
All right.
You sit at your desk and you don't want to actually work. NBCOlympics.com, and we have everything happening.
And from what time to what time, Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, I believe it starts at 7 a.m.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Last question, and you knew this was coming. What's going to be your bathroom policy for the Gold Zone?
Nobody needs to know this.
You're not going
to
hold yourself to the same standards you have for the Red Zone. Like, you're going to allow yourself some relief, right?
Are you trying to say that I don't take this job seriously?
Well, I'm just saying it's your part-time job. You don't need to worry. You don't have standards to maintain.
Well, I do think that there will be a little more flexibility in this. For example, we could drop into a soccer match game thing and you know take it for 10 minutes and then I can
perfect.
Run down the hall. But I mean, if you guys are laying down a challenge,
I don't know. It just seems to me like Bean is very concerned that you get pee time, and I'm not positive why.
Oh, I think
you're laying out a challenge. I'll use the cliche. I'll take it one day at a time.
I want you to be comfortable. I want you to pee when you get to pee. It's unhealthy to hold it too long, Andrew. So take care.
That's a great tip.
Urologists everywhere agree.
It's a good tip.
Exactly. All right, we're out of time. Andrew Siciliano on Twitter at just his name, and of course NFL.com. Look for him on Around the NFL and the DirecTV Red Zone channel and NBCOlympics.com. So great to catch up today. I'm looking forward to another season talking football with you, Andrew. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Yesterday we were doing our phone-in segment that we call What's Good, where we were including listener phone calls, and a listener named Isaiah called, and he had been thinking about a phone topic that we did over a year ago that really stuck with him. I think we got some of that call.
When I was a little kid, I always believed that people doing their jobs, I thought that's what they have always wanted to do. I thought they went to school. I thought the trash guy.
Oh, I see.
Aspired to be the trash guy.
So everybody that had a job, that was their ultimate dream.
That's what I thought.
Bean?
Yeah.
You like?
You all right?
Okay. Yeah,
I
hit the mic. Sorry. I'm fine.
No, I'm fine.
You all right? I'm good.
Okay.
Everything's fine. So Isaiah suggested in the rest of that call, he's like, hey, you guys need to do that again because it was so fascinating to hear the things that people believed when they were kids. And I don't think there's anybody who didn't think something as an inquisitive little kid that turned out to not be the way the world works, right? I mean, it's kind of a normal part of growing up and trying to understand things,
yeah.
I don't think.
When you're too young to understand how it really works.
Right. For instance, there's a Reddit thread on this of the things that you believe when you were as a kid. Here's a couple of them that I like so much. I used to believe that teachers lived at school inside their classrooms, which makes complete and total sense when you're a little kid because you never see your teacher outside of the classroom.
Right,
they're always in the classroom.
Oh, and if you did.
If you did, that's you're at the grocery store and you see Mrs. Gangness from second grade.
No,
you go,
sense.
What? She's in a grocery store?
Another. I thought if someone kissed me, we were married.
Wait, what?
I thought if someone kissed me, we were married.
You're not?
You need to get a lot of divorces.
Why would you be kissing if you're not
exactly.
married?
Exactly. And I suspect that that's something that probably a little girl learned from her parents about how you can't, you know, touch bits unless you're married or something.
Oh, I like how you call it touch bits. That sounds so terrible.
Hold on.
Here's another. I figured the moon was made of ice and it only came out at night so that the sun couldn't melt it. Again, that's very reasonable. That makes a lot of sense when you're a little kid. So we want to take your phone calls on things that you believed when you were a kid and then at some point you found out the terrible truth. So 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. What did you believe as a kid that now looking back on it is kind of funny? Beer Mug.
Hello. Yeah, I believed when I was a kid. And look, kids are idiots, and I was no exception.
Yeah, I don't think you need
to. How dare you? I used to put in the Ghostbusters VHS tape. And every time I did, I thought once I put it in, all the actors and the characters would get like a – they were in a room somewhere, and they get a, like a little red light flashing.
Right. Time to go.
Time to go. Time to put on a show for me.
Yeah. Bugs has got it on. Everybody get in place.
And I used to think that they would – as I put it in and it would start, they would be acting it live.
I love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And at some point, though, did you think, what if somebody else in another city is watching Ghostbusters at a different time than I am? How are they able to constantly act it out?
Never crossed my mind. I was very, very selfish.
I assume
thinking.
That Muggs thought no one else was his age.
Right. Well, in Muggs' defense, he was 24.
How dare you?
Here's another one. When I used to believe when you eat an apple and accidentally swallowed the seeds, that an apple tree would grow inside of you.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. What about the gum?
Oh, yeah.
The ball of gum that's still in your stomach.
Yeah.
You swallow your gum, it's going
to
stay there forever.
But I think that's something that your parents tell you. They tell you not to swallow gum because it stays in your stomach for 7 years,
liars.
Right?
Our parents are
liars. They are liars. One more, then we'll go to your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. Whenever I complained that my neighbor could stay up later than me, my mom would respond with, our house has a bedtime at 8 p.m. So I thought that when your house was built, someone from the government would tell you what your assigned bedtime was. And if you stayed up after the assigned time, you would get in trouble. This led me to be begging my mom for us to move to a house with a later bedtime. Again, very reasonable. I have no problems with any
of these.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's try, let's go to Sarah, line 4, please. She is in Mission Viejo to get us going.
Hey, Sarah.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, when I was little, I was playing with Barbie, so, you know, she didn't have any nipples. I thought when I developed my breasts, you know, my nipples were going to fall off.
legs.
Oh, right.
That makes sense.
So you would look more like Barbie.
Yeah, I was just going to look just like Barbie. Yep.
And how long did you believe that, Sarah?
I don't know. Probably too long, but I don't know. I just eventually figured it out. I don't know.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Fullerton, line 3. This is going to be Alex.
All right. Hey, Alex. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. When I was younger, I used to believe that black and white TV was captured because the world was black and white.
I have heard that from other people before. You feel like, hey, I'm watching film of what it used to look like in the 50s, and it was black and white back then.
Exactly.
Wow. So if you walked outside in the 50s, everything would be black and white in reality.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
How do you know that's not true, Kevin?
You don't.
Exactly. Thank you.
No, idiot.
I'm with you. Let's go to line 1, Temple City. This is going to be Natalia up next. We're talking about things you believed when you were a kid.
Hey, Natalia.
Hi. Okay, so I live in Temple City, which is a predominantly Asian neighborhood, and my 11-year-old daughter, but she was around 10 when she asked this, she wanted to know why only Asian people are allowed to sell homes, because every time we drive in our neighborhood, it's always, you know, an Asian lady or a man on a picture of a
It sounds racist. Well, I mean, if you're a little kid and all the realtor signs you see have Asians on them, I guess that would make sense. You would think that.
Yeah, so I told her no, that, you know, you could be a realtor if you want to when we're Mexican, so, you know.
I used to think that you had to be a white man to be president. Look how wrong I turned out to be.
Yeah, look at, go America.
Right?
America. America, indeed. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Natalia. Let's try Tori, Long Beach, line 5.
All right. Good morning, Tori.
So when I was little, I absolutely believed that if a character died on TV or a movie, they were dead in real life. Like, that person dead doesn't exist anymore.
Wow. That must have been heartbreaking to watch TV.
Dude, like, you're watching, like, Neverending Story. Everyone's dying. The great nothing's coming. Like, detrimental to my development as a human.
Wow.
So if you're an actor, you really have to want to play that role.
You
know you're going to die
right?
at the
like,
end.
Like any time a car crash, anything. What's happening to those people on that show, that's their life. Like they only exist in that bubble.
That's awesome.
I love it. Thank you, Tori. Jacob writes in, I used to believe that when you move, you would swap houses with the people that were moving into your house. I was around 9 when I thought this. So that would make it very difficult, by the way, to find somebody whose house you wanted to buy that also wanted to live in your house. But I guess that made sense to Jacob. All right, let's do one more before the break. Why don't we try Kelsey, line 3, Costa Mesa.
All right. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So when I was little, my brother was kind of evil. Nice guy, but kind of evil. We were probably about 5 or 6, me and my best friend, and he told us that rose petals would cure cancer.
Rose petals? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure why we thought we had cancer, so we went to our neighbor's house, and he had a rose garden, and so we ate all of his rose petals.
Oh, my gosh.
But we didn't know that he used to spray insecticides on them.
Oh,
and
no.
So when my mom found out...
You got cancer. Oh.
No,
that's
I
the
didn't.
Only happy ending to this story is if you got cancer from eating
not
roses.
Not a happy ending.
But she was pissed that she took us to the emergency room and nothing happened to us, but we got in trouble by our neighbor. She didn't have any more roses, just beautiful roses.
Can you imagine walking out and right? there's no rose petals on the ground or anyplace else?
Yummy.
But the good news is you didn't get cancer, so maybe it was right. Maybe what you heard was right.
I don't think that's the point here, Bean.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you listening?
I misunderstood. All right, Kelsey, thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What did you believe when you were a kid? We'll talk to you next time, Kate. How's this for customer service? We had a listener yesterday call us named Isaiah who said, hey, will you guys do that phone topic that you did last year about things people believed when they were kids? And here we are, taking care of Isaiah. Okay.
I feel like you're too happy about that.
Here's a listener, no name. Hey, guys, I can't call him because of work. I am Mexican, and growing up, all of my parents spoke Spanish to my grandparents and their elders. So as a kid, I thought that when you get old, you transition to speaking Spanish. Since my parents weren't quite old enough yet, they spoke only Spanish sometimes. Again, that makes a lot of sense. The older the person is, the more they only spoke Spanish, is what he's saying. I like it.
All right.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this one, a text from the 310. I used to believe that birthdays were selected by the parents. I mean, I guess
They
sort
makes
of
sense,
are.
Yeah.
Sort of are, right?
Spanker tweets us. Yes, Spanker tweets us. I used to believe that the UPS guy would go around to every single house. I thought there was only one guy in the whole world driving around.
Is he Santa?
He's very busy.
And finally, Sheila on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I used to believe I was going places when I got older. Well, that got kind of dark. I'm sorry about that. All right, who do you want to talk to here? 1-800-520-1067.
Let's start with Casey in Santa Clarita. Hi, Casey.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What did you believe when you were a kid?
So when I was a little kid, I used to think that having sex was just making out and rolling around on top of each other because that's all I ever saw in the movies.
Yeah, that makes sense. That looks like all you only see what they would show you. Sure, I like it.
Yeah, and that's literally the only thing I ever thought until in junior high when I found out the real truth. I was like, no way.
That was a good day for you, wasn't it? All right, thank you for the call, Casey. Appreciate that. Let's go to Claremont, line 5. This is going to be Ian up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What did you think when you were a kid?
So in like first or second grade, the gas gauge on the car, I used to think the F meant fill up and the E meant that there was enough.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
How did you sense that, though? When you were a kid, why were you looking at the gas gauge? That's odd.
I probably was a nosy kid.
Okay.
Yeah, because you pay attention to your surroundings. You want to. You're trying to figure out how the world works.
Take it easy. Thank you for the call.
Well, it's weird that you would question why a kid would have. Okay. Let me see. Ashley writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account. When I was 5, I used to think that babies came out of your rear end.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Yeah, see, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's try let's try Amanda Ukaipa, please, line 7.
All right. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, guys. So when I was 5, my parents would take me to the beach all the time. And so I remember looking out to the ocean thinking, like, where did waves come from? So I concocted this whole theory that there was an island offside the coast with tons of Samoans who had, like, huge circular inner tubes, like, from raging waters, and they would jump on the inner tubes and make waves for people.
I love that they were Samoan. This is very detailed.
I have no idea. Like, I have no idea why Samoans, like,
did you picture them doing that around the clock or just when you were at the beach?
Yeah, I thought there was, like, a time schedule. Like, okay, like, they would do it, like, in the morning, because the waves were usually good in the morning. So I was like, okay, there's probably, like, waves going on. They're all jumping on the inner tubes right now.
That's
so
sweet.
I love that.
That is very reasonable. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. Let's try. Those Samoans must have been tired,
right?
I guess. How long can you keep up a shift like that? Let's go to AJ. Anaheim, please, line 4.
All right. Hey, AJ.
Hey, so when I was a kid, I thought that girls didn't poop.
We don't, AJ.
I still think that girls
Ever.
Don't poop.
Mm-mm.
I think that's still true, AJ.
That's a pretty place.
Yeah.
I just thought that, Bean. You know, girls are so pretty and, like, feminine and stuff, they would never do something so disgusting.
Right. I hear you. I think you're right.
Place.
Thank you for the call.
Oh, my God.
On that topic, by the way.
No,
on the poop topic. Justin Wade writes in, I believed that poop was stored in butt cheeks and that people with bigger butts were full of more poop than people with smaller butts.
Well, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense, too. All right, let's try a couple more real quick. Teresa Long Beach up next, line 8 on the Kevin and Bean. You're talking about things you believed as a kid.
All right, but don't think we're not going to line 7, Bean.
All right. Okay.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. When I was a kid, I used to think that if you were a twin, you guys spoke at the same time, your gestures were all identical at the same time. If somebody were to ask you something, you'd answer everything
at the same time. That makes sense.
So I mean, I would imagine if you're young enough, the concept of a twin would be very difficult to understand.
Yes, sir. That's why.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to anywhere but line 7.
Let's go to line 7.
Cassandra, you're Melinda. Line 2.
You hold on, Rick. We're going to get to you. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi. So I used to think that the traffic signals that turn red and green and yellow, I thought that there were men, like, actually, I could see them with shorts. They're short and they're wearing construction hats, that they would live under the street and they would, like, push buttons to make the signal change from red to green. Yeah.
Did you feel sorry for them for having to live under the street like that?
No, I didn't. Funny.
You're like, come on, jackass, make it green. That does sound like a terrible job, though. I don't know if that's a – I think that's maybe a worse job than the Samoans who make the waves. All right, let's go to AJ. She is on line four. She's Newport Coast, it says here.
Hey, AJ.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So check it out. I really loved Mariah Carey when I was young.
Yeah.
Like, knew every word of her album. And my brother was, like, 4 years older than me. And he was super mean. He told me that she was actually a man. And her name was Marcus Carey. And, you know, she went by Mark Carey. But anyway, like, I just was so confused about the world at that time. I was like, what?
You must have been so freaked out by that.
I was like, wait, but I could kind of see it, though, you know?
If you look for it, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you look hard.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for the call. Brian writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, when I was younger, I always thought that my parents' names were Mom and Dad. When I found out their real names, I was shocked, and I couldn't believe their names weren't Mom and Dad. I mean, I guess that's what you call them. You never call call your parents by their first name. All right, let's go to Rick Elsegunde.
Hey, Rick.
So I must be line seven, huh?
You are line seven. Yes, you are, sir.
Okay, I remember as a kid, I was playing with marbles, and I swallowed a couple of them. And a couple of days later is the time I realized I had testicles. But I thought they were the two marbles that I swallowed. Yeah! And I played... And I played with them for days, and I finally got a little nervous and asked my dad about it and kind of realized they weren't the marbles.
Oh, my God.
Oh, if your dad had been Kevin, yes. He would have said, yes, son, that's exactly what happened. Works.
Do not swallow any more marbles.
You're not that clever.
Wow, that's Rick.
That turns south.
Thought we were all having fun.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5 minutes till 9.
Science has noticed that millennials are having far less sex than the generations before them. People born between the 80s and the year 2000 have far fewer sexual partners than baby boomers or Generation Xers.
Come on, get
what
with it, people.
What is wrong with them?
Step it up.
Why is that?
Get
we'll
to
find
boning.
Out. We'll find out. We'll talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky about that coming up right off the top of the hour. First, though, Ali's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Well, we learned yesterday that Suge Knight from Death Row Records is not great at the follow-through when he puts a hit on you.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Because allegedly, he tried to have Eminem killed on several occasions. First of which, 2001 Source Hip Hop Awards.
How hard can it be to kill Eminem? He's the only white guy in a crowd of black guys.
Yeah, you could spot him pretty quickly,
you would think.
Yeah, apparently that year at the awards, you couldn't sit with bodyguards. So his bodyguard, known as Big Nas, said that he noticed he was in the aisle and he was beefing with all these guys in red shirts. And that's when they said, Death Row mother effers, Suge Knight sent us to strong arm Eminem and it's going down. So the bodyguard had to snatch him up and call Dre and they all went backstage. So that's incident number one. Incident number two, they were going to Hawaii. Nice little vacation for Eminem, a few of his bodyguards, girlfriends, wives, all of that. And when they were landing, they were greeted by 20 Honolulu police officers, and they were told that Death Row was there, and there was a hit out. So they had to protect them. So Interscope had to pick up the tab for Honolulu police to be with each bodyguard because of how deep Suge Knight was rolling over in Hawaii.
Wow.
What?
And they had to wear bulletproof vests, you said
yeah,
earlier?
Yeah, they were on the plane. They
That's
had to put
terrible,
on bulletproof vests
a terrible
with their
beach
wives
experience.
And girlfriends. Horrible tan lines. I mean, nobody wanted that.
No, but nobody looks good with that.
No. Isn't that crazy?
That is
well,
crazy.
It does explain why Beer Mug feels so comfortable calling Suge Knight a pussy all the time, because he just feels like there's no possible repercussion, I guess.
That is shocking how often he said that.
Yeah.
He didn't. Say that.
Yeah, he called him all kinds of names. Yeah, he's been saying that forever.
For years.
Yeah. He can't accomplish anything, Beer Mug said.
Wow.
Yeah.
He said, come at me, Suge. That's what I heard him
yeah,
say.
Yeah, he did say that.
Where's the outrage there?
Well, I'm nervous now for Beer Mug.
You don't have to be. Apparently, he's not very good at it.
Well, practice makes perfect. Mm. All right. Yesterday, we talked about Ozzy Osbourne going into a sex addiction rehab. That was kind of the excuse as to why he was having an affair, which we all thought, well, this hairdresser, Michelle Pugh, was that just a one-time thing? What happened? Or were there others? Well, Michelle Pugh has come out and said she had a 4-year affair with him, and he was the love of her life.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
That changes things.
And then she dropped a bombshell that she was actually suing Kelly Osbourne, Ozzy's daughter, because of the tweets she sent out after the affair went public. She tweeted out, "Anyone looking for cheap, chunky lowlights and a blowout and a BJ? Call," and then Michelle Pugh's phone number, right up there on her Twitter.
Hmm.
And then the second tweet was, "My father is almost 70. Ever heard of elder abuse?" Well, Michelle Pugh said, "I'm not having any of that." Suing her for defamation, intentional infliction of emotional distress, and public disclosure of private facts. That is
sounds like she's got a case.
You think?
I think this is probably never going to go to court, but she'll probably get a nice paycheck.
Yeah. But she also lost the love of her life, Ozzy.
Doesn't Ozzy, look, I don't know Mr. Osbourne. I'm a fan of his.
Sure.
But just based on what I used to see on the old MTV show, does he seem like the kind of guy who is nimble enough to carry on a four-year affair and get away with it?
I would think there had to be a lot of elements. A driver, somebody reminding him, hey, it's time to bone Michelle. Like,
right.
Things like that, a whole
team. Doesn't it
team.
Seem like he's not the kind of guy who really could keep his stories straight and be at the right place at the right time and avoid detection?
He would ask Sharon when he was supposed to have sex with the other girl. Like that kind of thing.
That's the most surprising thing about the revelation, that it was a four-year affair.
Yeah. Well, says Michelle Pugh.
Right.
So,
right.
Who knows? Anywho, all of these stars are celebrating their birthday today, August the 4th. Richard Belzer is 72. Billy Bob Thornton, 61. Daniel Day Kim is 48. Jeff Gordon is 45. And our president, Barack Obama, is 55.
So
years
what
old.
Happens USA, when we go out to a
party? USA! USA!
That's Donald Trump leading that chant. Very different. Barack Obama.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh? Blam! They're on us like there's no tomorrow. High school chicks, university chicks, it don't matter.
What is that from?
It's from his audiobook. His book about his life that he did the audio version for.
Play it again.
So what happens when we go out to a party with some sisters, huh? Blam! They on us like there's no tomorrow. High school chicks, university chicks, it don't matter.
Oh, I love it so much. Thanks, Obama. Thank you, Obama. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
I don't know how he has time to do it, but Dr. Drew hosts about, 250 podcasts a week. You can find them at drdrew.com. You can also see him every weekday afternoon, Monday through Thursday on HLN at 4 and on Midday Live afternoons with Mike Cathwart on KABC. Hey, Doc, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Got a great, juicy topic to get to today, but first, Kevin has a brief aside. We need a doctor's opinion
this
on something,
is never
please.
Good.
Nope. Oh, Dr. Drew, see, please, seriously.
All right.
So, Allie has a headache, and she goes in, and I say the aspirin's in the office, and she goes in, and she looks at it, and it's a year old. It's a year out of date.
Mm-hmm. It expired in July of 2015.
Yeah.
And I say, so what's the problem? Take it. She says, no, it's expired.
What's the point of taking it? It won't work.
It won't work optimally. It's probably okay to take. I have a little bit of an anxiety about allowing people to take outdated medications because I've seen some strange reactions.
But this is Advil.
It's Advil. I thought you said aspirin.
What was it? Was it Advil specifically?
It's whatever you don't agree with.
As long as you take her side.
But the impression that we get, Dr. Drew, as lay people, is that, the government tells him it has to expire by a certain date, but that doesn't mean that on that day, all of a sudden, it becomes completely ineffective.
Correct.
It still works for after
that. It's not like milk that goes bad.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
That's absolutely true. But let's remember, Allie, if you have that anisocoria, I noticed that...
not back to that.
The Christmas,
no,
and now you have
not,
a headache.
No.
When do we get this evaluated? I'm just saying.
Stop.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
So your advice would be to take it or not take it. Sounds like no.
No, I'm not a huge non-steroidal fan, the Advils and the Aleve.
I don't like non-steroidals.
Unless you really, they work, but they have way more side effects than, say, an acetaminophen. So just take Tylenol.
I think we went astray, but okay.
Okay. All right. Here's the question, Dr. Drew, and this is a headline that I have been seeing for the past few months, and there was another one in the Washington Post this week. Why millennials are avoiding sex. Are you familiar with this trend? Is this something you've talked about on HLN?
No, we used to talk about it on Loveline, and I brought this up to you guys before, but go ahead, frame it, because there's a lot to this.
Basically, what is happening is that younger millennials, those people who were born in the 1990s, are more than twice as likely to be sexually inactive in their 20s as the previous generation was. And it seems like it is a trend that they are trying to put a lot of different factors to, including one of which is that, and tell me if this is crazy to you or if this makes sense as a contributing factor, one of which is that kids of that age are having more virtual relationships than ever before, and those are more satisfying than real-life relationships. Therefore, they're not developing the kind of real-life relationships that might lead to intimacy.
I think you're sniffing in the right zone there. And let's They also brought up in that article that they're living at home, and that's not very sexy. And there's a little bit of disdain for what previous generations have done. Like, no, that's what the other guys did. We are much more evolved. We're not so primitive and into sexuality. But I think this virtual phenomenon that you're describing, if you take one step further downstream, and now you're talking about pornography. And I think that's the virtual relationship that really stalls things out. I think a lot of these kids are deep in the pornography and deep in the virtual world and sort of almost dissociated into those areas and really never develop the usual milestones and skill of developing a relationship in, like, say, junior high school and high school.
But they're still going to junior high and high school. How do you not?
I've heard little sort of rumblings of things they say, like, well, you know, I'd like a girl, but they're kind of difficult. You know, I can buy porn. I'm all right. You know, but having a girl, and then
Girls are difficult. I mean, that's true.
Well, thank you. You live with a couple of them, don't you?
I do. Yes.
and we, if you remember the other phenomenon that comes out of this that I brought up to you guys before. Is that then when they do form a relationship in their early 20s, they get obsessed. They decide this is the one. Well, that young lady may not necessarily reciprocate, so then they drop into sort of stalking mode or stalker mode. They become their friend. And after about 2 years, they would call Loveline and go, you know, I found the one, and I've been waxing your car for the last 2 years, and now it's time.
Oh, wow. And what would you say to them?
I would say... That's stalking. You've been stalking this girl. This is not normal. You may want to talk to somebody and really, you know, go out and date and learn how to flexibly deal in the real world in an interpersonal context. And they're just not developing those skills. And that's a grave concern.
Okay, let me ask you this. I have a couple more questions on the porn angle, and that is, are you saying so if, like when I'm in, you know, 7th grade, 8th grade, I start to notice girls and their bumpy parts, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I got to see me a boob. So what you're saying is now the kid who's in 7th grade today has been seeing hardcore sex since he got his first iPad, so there's not that desire to go out and see a boob as much as there might have been if you'd never had access to that before?
I'm sorry, I can't get the image out of my head of being as the 7th grader. I'm having
The way he described it was the least sexy thing I've ever heard.
Bumpy parts.
Well, you start to notice that girls look different for you, but is there
anything... why are you only looking at a boob?
Is there anything...
Just the left one.
Is there anything in my question, though, that you are kind of desensitized to nudity because you've already seen it all before you've actually seen it in person?
Yes, and the point even more, to put a finer point on it, they're sort of more aroused and more in that material. That's much more alluring than the real world. It's actually more gratifying. So the real world doesn't even hold a candle to the stuff they're experiencing and have, you know, literally raining down on them all the time.
Right.
Raining down on them with this conversation?
Now let me ask, a lot of weirdness happening.
Now let me flip the script and go to the girl's side of the aisle and ask you this question, Dr. Drew. If I'm a 7th grade girl and all of these guys around me have been watching porn stars on their computer for the last 5 years, is there a part of me that knows that and goes, I can't compete or not real? You know what I mean? Is some of that happening?
Some of that is adding to the body image problems. And you've heard of the sexy girl phenomenon, which is these girls, these young, you know, sort of middle school and early high school age kids, develop these very sexualized, you know, almost fetishized personalities just because they know that's what the guys are looking at and like. They don't really even understand what they're doing.
Oh, wow. No.
So this doesn't sound like a trend we should, as a society, be happy with. I mean, of course, you want kids to wait until they're emotionally ready to have sex and have safe sex, of course, but it sounds like there are some developmental things happening here that are not good for the generation.
I have a feeling some of the stuff that, you know, of course, I hear on Loveline is things embedded in this phenomenon. Overall, the phenomenon is probably good. It's a good phenomenon. And most kids are not impaired. They're fine. And most kids, you know, when I you know, tell these stories, they, you know, I'm sure other millennials hearing me go, oh, that's not me, I've been fine. Yeah, you are fine. But embedded within it are these phenomena that are really concerning.
When do you, gotcha. When you talk to kids about this, do you describe it as bumpy parts?
Oh, of course. I just described being as a seventh grader describing it as bumpy parts. I really want them to have the full experience.
DrDrew.com for all the podcasts on Twitter, at Dr. Drew, and of course, HLN Monday through Thursdays at 4, and then weekday afternoons with Mike Catherwood on KABC. Thanks for the time, Doc. We'll do it again next week.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
If there's one thing I've learned about Ally McKay over the last year and a half, it's, well, two things. One is she's undateable, but the other one is that she loves to be right. Right? She loves to be right.
That's why I'm with this.
That's why I'm surprised, Ally, that you have not made a victory lap on the air today about you and your best friend in the world, Edgar Wright, and your similar goals.
I mean, it gets so old being right all the time.
Does
that
it?
I literally have gotten sick of being right.
Do you get tired of winning?
I get tired of being
tired
right.
Of winning. Give the backstory on what came up that you have now been entirely vindicated by.
Well, we were having conversation about a week ago about what superhero you would like to have a standalone movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said right away, a Squirrel Girl. That would be amazing. And Anna Kendrick. That
would
be great.
Yeah, you didn't even think.
Didn't even think about it. That was it.
Right.
And you were mocked roundly.
I was mocked roundly.
Because, of course, Squirrel Girl is a dumb idea, and it's a movie that no one needs.
Ralph was, that stupid, matter eater lad. Yeah, I'm Ralph. And you guys were like, oh, squirrel's just stupid squirrel. That's stupid. And I'm like, whatever. God, I hate it here. And Edgar Wright tweeted yesterday, we need a Squirrel Girl movie, and Anna Kendrick needs to star.
Boom!
What?
And that's coming from Edgar Wright, by the way.
Edgar Wright!
And I feel like if Edgar Wright had said it first,
we all would have gone, that's a great idea.
That's a great idea because Edgar Wright knows what he's talking about. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm used to it working here, so it's fine.
So Anna Kendrick as Squirrel Girl. That's got to happen now, right?
It will happen is what I'm saying.
I like it.
It will happen.
Now I like it.
Now I like it, too.
I hate both of you so
No one ever talks about how exhausting it is to be right all the time.
Right?
Right?
Right? You guys, Mariah Carey, she is a delight.
She's straight crazy, right?
Just.
She's always been crazy.
She is too much. She was speaking to journalists at the TCAs, the Television Critics Association's press tour yesterday. She was promoting her 8-part upcoming e-docuseries, Mariah's World. Ooh, first of all.
I can't wait.
Who?
Me.
You?
I would watch that in a second because she's straight
really?
Crazy.
I am in.
You literally will watch.
I am in unless she's. She gets to edit on it. You
know?
I mean,
agree.
That's my only fear is if somebody else, if it's fly on the wall, Mariah Carey, which I can't imagine she would ever allow, then I think that would be fascinating. Because
sure.
She does seem like the type of person who has other people carrying her into rooms.
She's insane.
Do you remember way back when she did Cribs and she was on like a cycling bike or a treadmill or something in her heels and a gown. It was amazing. She's a gift.
She's not a real human.
No. Well, when she was doing this press, she mentioned her stint on season 12's American Idol and called it, quote, an abusive experience, and talking about it would drive her to drink. An abusive experience.
Wasn't she just one of the judges that sat there and gave scores?
She sure did.
And how much did she make?
Upwards of $18 million.
Yeah, but it was like, in her defense, it was like 4 hours a week she had to work, right?
That's true. It was a lot
of work. For that
$18 million. Yeah.
See,
but
that's what I'm saying.
She did have, you know, arguments with Nicki Minaj, and there was a lot of drama on it, but really abusive experience? Interesting.
She's crazy.
Is she?
Yes. Full on.
She'll talk about it in her e-docuseries.
I don't know. World. Bean brought that up. If she has the final edit, then probably.
Hey, guys, I don't think whispering is necessary.
Okay.
Hey, when's the show coming on? Do we know when the Mariah show is debuting? Is it the fall, I imagine?
Nah. I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry, I was just scrolling the page.
I would have guessed that information would have been there too, Bean.
F both of you.
It's all right. It's a good time.
You keep doing what you're doing.
Eat it. Soccer's dumb, huh?
Right.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but Hope Solo, who is the, do you call it a goalie or is it a team keeper?
You call it goalkeeper. Goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper.
Either way.
Okay.
Goalie if you want.
Just a goalie
yeah.
for Team USA. They had their first match.
Yes.
Game.
Mm-hmm. Match. Sure.
Match.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday on the pitch.
Yep.
And they won 2-0. But that's not what this story is about. This is about her. Before leaving for Rio, posting picture on her Instagram, she had a bandana around her face. She had a mosquito net draped over her head and holding like a Destructo-Mucto size thing of insect repellent.
Right.
So basically
that's
saying,
kind of funny to me.
Yeah, it was very funny. Yeah. And she said, not sharing this, get your own. Hashtag Zika proof. Hashtag Road to Rio.
She didn't make it up. It's not like there's not an actual threat of Zika virus in Brazil.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's a real thing.
Absolutely. But apparently some Brazilian fans felt a little disrespected, and they let her have it. Kevin, you were watching.
Well, every time the ball got anywhere near her, they booed.
Okay.
Every time.
Right.
And then she would pick up the ball, and before she would kick it,
mm-hmm.
the entire stadium would say, Zika! That happened.
And I think we have some audio of
that. Oh, yeah. Hope Solo. Caracas is touching
it. Perfect. I mean, it's in unison. It's so easy. A lot of times with chants, you can't quite make it out.
Oh, no. They were all together.
That was the whole game?
That was pretty sweet. Yeah.
And those games were like 7 hours, right?
Not 7 hours. Oh. The U.S. is number one in the world, by the way.
Astonishing.
Right?
This is not just a dream. It's a wet dream of orgasmic proportions.
Take it easy.
Whoa. Wow.
Caracas is touching it.
That's amazing.
Who's chanting Zika?
Now, they will do that every game, right? That she
oh,
plays.
I assume so, yeah.
Okay.
I hope so.
I need to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Yeah, you need to watch.
They are still in it, or they won last
They're number one in the world.
Okay.
And they're still in it, yeah.
There you see those tears. Look at them. Teardrops the size of pineapple chunks.
What? All right. We talked about this earlier, and it still hasn't sunk in how crazy this is. Barney's, we all know, upscale Barney's, is selling Black Flag t-shirts and Joy Division t-shirts for not quite the money you would think. These are shirts you literally could buy at a Target, at a Walmart.
Just a cheap
same
t-shirt.
Same shirt.
Right.
But if you buy it at Barney's, the Black Flag shirt will cost you $265. So if that's not for you.
Oh, you. Isn't that what Barney's does, though? Don't they just pretty much take all clothes and just mark them up 7,000% because they're Barney's?
But my $265?
I know, it's insane.
It's cuckoo. Joy Division t-shirts going for $225, but that's because the Black Flag t-shirt has zippers, so it's very
good
distinct.
Old t-shirts with zippers.
I love those, right? Nothing like that against your skin. Just so weird. Bean is excited. Dave is excited. I am excited.
About?
The Gilmore Girls coming back. Yes.
And the kids are excited.
The kids love it because the Gilmore Girls are magic. Everyone on that show is magic. But A Year in the Life, the 4 new episodes coming back on November 25th at 3 a.m.
Yes.
But what can you do before that? Obviously, you can watch all of the episodes on Netflix right now. They've been available since July 1st. But what about to ramp up before the big debut? What about watching on the Up Network? They've announced it will air all 153 episodes in a mega marathon beginning Friday, November the 18th.
I can't get enough of that Up Network.
Right? Formerly known as what?
I don't have any idea. I've never heard of it.
The GMC TV.
Okay.
And then before that,
don't
originally
that.
The Gospel Music Channel. I didn't know this
okay.
was a thing, but yes.
All right.
I'm checking when I get home that I get the Up Network, and if I don't, I'm ordering it because I...
Good luck with that.
Can't watch it on Netflix. But really, who is going to be watching 153 episodes starting Friday, November 18th through... The 25th.
Well, I can't imagine anyone's going to watch them all through. All the way?
Here's my thing. Here's where I'm going with it.
All right.
Dave tried that watching TV.
Right.
Guinness
right.
Book of World Records.
Uh-huh. Right.
why not? It's one of his favorite shows.
Yeah.
Why not have him do the Gilmore Girls marathon?
He destroyed the world record twice.
Yes.
And didn't get credit for it because we didn't keep accurate records.
Well, let's keep accurate records this time.
Dave, sound good?
Yep.
You in?
Yep.
I heard a yes.
Gilmore Excellent. Girls, Dave. Love that.
Love them. Not TV for $100 in a row. No.
All right. I guess he's not really a fan after all.
Negative.
Lorelai is pissed. She just tweeted.
You're a terrible person,
Dave.
Name if Lauren Graham does it with me, I'll do it.
She's not going to do it with you.
No.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
All right, all of these stars celebrating their birthday today. August the 4th, Richard Belzer, 72. Daniel Day Kim, 48. Jeff Gordon, 45. Billy Bob Thornton, 61. And President Barack Obama is 55.
They're white folks, and then they're ignorant mother like you.
That is true. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Grumman, walking the showbiz beat.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. What does that mean for us? It means a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour today on K-Rock.
Hey, may I just butt in? Because sure. We had a listener who asked me a question yesterday I think is worth addressing here. Is it a random act of helpfulness if it's scheduled at the same time every day?
Wow, that's...
It's pretty deep.
It's very deep.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's think about that, Honda. Think about that. Think about what you've done.
Yeah.
Okay, back to you.
Any other words of wisdom for the biggest sponsor of the show?
No, we love them and God bless them, but I wonder about the accuracy of the name of the of it being random.
Well, there's so many more than
right.
just this.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
It's actually random.
But if it's every day at 5 though, how random is that? I think that's the question. I'm very uncomfortable with this now.
All right, we'll edit that out. Okay. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand-new internet roundup. We have Julie Klausner talking about Difficult People, a Hulu series. We've got the movie beat to tell you what movies are in the theaters. And we've got your tickets for Radiohead at the Shrine. We'll see you tomorrow.